following program is intended for mature audiences.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
You dig it?
Gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and we have got a huge show for you this week. The MWR, Missouri Wrestling Revival, Sexiest Wrestler of the Year, Lucy Mendez, is here to sit in with us. Also, we're going to be joined by two other lovely ladies from Resistance Pro Wrestling near Chicago named Darcy Dixon and one Mickey Knuckles. Also, plus game on, game off, some changes Obama made for weed finances, and a couple of situations that have gone awry. But let us not fail very quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Lucy Mendez.
Yay! Thank you.
As well as we have our friend Dan Walsh sitting in once again.
Polar Vortex.
The Polar Vortex. Walking reality. Flying reality, Dan Walsh. Huge in Latvia.
Latvia, Amsterdam, Georgia, and Czechoslovakia.
And Czechoslovakia, specifically because of his antiquated MTV career.
Czechoslovakia doesn't even exist in
both. We reunited those countries. It's no longer Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Also, producer Bobby is here. But ladies and gentlemen, we can't waste any time tonight because we have a very special guest, like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, on the phone line with us right now. We're going to talk with Darcy Dixon. She is the women's champion at Resistance Pro Wrestling up near Chicago. Darcy, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate, we appreciate pro wrestling. That's number one. We're big pro wrestling fans here at the show.
Why wouldn't you be?
Now, let's talk a little bit about you and Resistance Pro Wrestling. How long have you been with Resistance Pro?
Since day one.
You've been there since... Okay, so maybe for all the people out there listening to the show across the nation, maybe give us a little heads up of the background of Resistance Pro.
Well, Resistance Pro is a promotion that started a little over 2 years ago. I think it was February 25th, 2011.
Okay.
Wow. It was started by two brothers whose name are Gabe and Jacques Baron, and we are fortunate enough to have the creative director, which is the... genius behind the Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan.
Wow, Billy Corgan, future Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet. Like, this is one of those guys, like, you know, like when Britney Spears makes $50 million a year, Bobby? Okay?
Yeah.
She makes $50 million a year, and you go, how did that happen? Because, like, you expect her to make good money.
Right.
But you're not expecting, like, $50 million a year. When a guy like Billy Corgan's name comes up, you don't question how he made $50 million in 1 year. You go, every time they put out a concert, they just sell out. It's the Smashing Pumpkins.
Absolutely.
Obviously, they've sold millions and millions of albums. So, it's one of those things. But then again, I guess Britney Spears has sold millions and millions of albums, too.
Yeah, but she's not the Smashing Pumpkins. Can we please not even put them in the same sentence?
Well, of course. But you know, I'm not going to sit there and upgrade her or downgrade the Smashing Pumpkins. But let's be honest. For what they each do, they have their own thing. So I can't sit there and knock Britney Spears either, because she's doing better than me and every single other person who runs entertainment companies
hold on. I'm so confused.
What's up?
How do we start talking about Britney Spears?
Oh,
we're talking to the Resistance Pro women's champion.
Where did this come from? Oh my goodness, I got put in place. Fair enough.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Hey, what's awesome is how big Resistance Pro is. Resistance Pro is blowing up. I Googled Resistance Pro today. The website looks amazing. Everything is really cool. It's just awesome. Like, this was my first turn on to Resistance Pro. I've heard, you know, little tidbits here and there, but Resistance Pro is where it's at.
So, Darcy, quick question for you. How do you get into pro wrestling? How long have you been a pro wrestler yourself?
I have been... My very, very first show ever that I was ever a part of was Resistance Pro's first show.
Okay, so... But now, how long were you training before that? Were you training for a few months before, or was that was it?
I had started training... to be a wrestler after I started working for Resistance.
Wow. So that's kind of a unique situation. That doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, I don't know anybody else that it has, but, you know, it did for me, so yay.
Hey, that worked out really great. Now, Resistance Pro Wrestling, based up out of Chicago. Are you originally from that area, or where are you from?
No, I am from another wrestling hotbed. I am from North Carolina.
Okay.
I trained in Charlotte.
All right, so you're from the home of Flair.
One of my favorite stories is my very first week of training, I actually trained with Ric Flair.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's huge, actually. Now, Darcy, I have seen pictures of you. Mm-hmm. You are a very attractive young lady. That's all I'm going to say. You're very attractive.
Really, you could not.
But you got really weird.
No, it did get really weird because I respect the fact she could probably beat me up.
No, I could definitely beat you up.
Oh,
wow.
You can still
yes.
talk about how attractive I am. That's fine.
Oh, that's fair enough. Fair enough. So what's it like being the heavyweight champion for Resistance Pro when it comes to being the women's champion? The women's heavyweight champion. What's it
it's
like?
It's amazing. I feel like I have a target on me at all times.
Right.
But it definitely gets me out of bed every morning and gets me in the gym, and it makes me work on being better because I don't want to lose it.
Now, I understand that, you know, Resistance Pro at this level right now is currently more of an independent organization. Some of the people who work on the roster probably have jobs outside. Are you one of those, or is wrestling your entire day-to-day job?
Wrestling is definitely my priority.
Okay.
It's number one. I'm focusing on it, but I'm a personal trainer.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, you know, I see that a lot in professional
wrestling. I'm pretty sure everyone in wrestling is a
personal. Well, I wouldn't say that everybody, but that seems to be it's kill two birds with one stone. You know, you stay in shape for your career over here.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Adam Raw does that. You know, we've talked about a lot of different people.
By staying in shape, by the way, as long as I Googled the correct person, Darcy Dixon.
I'm in incredible shape.
Were you?
The person's in incredible shape.
And she is absolutely modest about it, too. So.
The question I was going to ask.
No, I don't. Like, why do people have to be humble about things that are true? I mean, like, if you're in good shape, you
Yes! Darcy Dixon's my favorite wrestler ever.
I like this girl.
Darcy, I went on my show here a few years ago, okay? And I went on literally 3 weeks worth of rants about how I'm successful in radio and was in pro wrestling, and I deserve to have the ability to walk around and pop my chest proudly earned that right.
I feel like faking modesty is like a way to get compliments, and it bothers me so much when pretty girls are
love it.
Oh, I'm not pretty, blah, blah, blah. You just want compliments.
The best part about this whole thing is the whole time you're talking, I'm watching Lucy, and her face is glowing.
She is glowing. Now, yeah, Lucy.
Lucy's face just glows.
Now, wait a second.
Now,
Darcy, like I said, we are getting introduced to Resistance Pro properly here.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know a lot about the entire thing. I do know there's a gentleman by the name of Josephus Brody up there.
Yes.
Who I really seriously.
Josephus is actually from Tennessee.
I actually really want to take Durden. The Dynamo Pro Champion. I want to tag him with Josephus. I want to take it to Vince, and I want to call him the Brodies. And I swear to God, I'm going to make the call to Tom Pritchard very soon about this. I'm not joking. Like, this is going to happen. I've got to do this.
It sounds like a good idea.
I think it's an amazing idea, and I think that with the name the Brodies as a tag team, they're going to go far because all the old school guys are going to be like, love it. All the new school people are going to be like, I love Bray Wyatt. Just give me more of that. So, like,
I love the Wyatt family.
What's that?
If we're going to get off subject, I just want to say I love the Wyatt family.
You love the Wyatt family?
So much. Like, I am from the mountains of North Carolina.
And we're not getting off subject, by the way, young lady. We love Resistance Pro Wrestling. By the way.
We're not off subject because you're supposed to be talking about the women of Resistance Pro Wrestling.
That's right.
And you started talking about Josephus.
I just brought up his name. My goodness. Hey, listen. You know what?
She is going
to whoop your ass. You know what? I think it's time. Like, I think we need to set this up. Mark Bland versus Darcy Dixon.
You know what?
But not for the title. Like, I don't.
She actually exercises, Mark. She's going
to
kick your ass.
They like to set me up against people who are going to be a challenge to me, so I don't know if I'll get that book.
Yes!
Burn.
Holy crap.
Wow. Interesting.
We know why this lady is the champion right now.
Oh,
we
my
know.
God.
It's okay. Eventually, she'll Google my name, so we're good.
Are you going to, when are you going to come watch a show?
What's that?
When are you guys going to be able to come watch?
Well, see, that was what I was going to ask you about, because since you and me have obviously are on the same page about everything here, I was wondering when the next time Lucy's scheduled to get in the ring and beat on you so that I could be there to watch it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the booker. Like, I'm
Fair
all
enough.
For it. I'll get in the ring with Lucy any day. We are friends outside of the ring, but we are professionals.
Once you get in those ropes.
Now, would you consider yourself a bad guy or a good guy?
I want to win, and I will do that.
At any means necessary? By any means necessary?
Well, I guess. I mean, you know, I follow the rules.
So if it Some takes that, if it takes that 20-pound belt that Lucy told me you carry around,
Lucy,
I don't need to. I haven't had to use the 20-pound belt because I don't know if you've seen my body.
Lucy, we need to know. Okay, Darcy.
Yes.
Like, no, not you, Darcy. I'm asking Lucy about Darcy. Okay,
you said Darcy though.
I did. Gosh, this is the
you
best. Need to get it together,
this
Mark.
Is the best interview oh I've ever had.
This is better
talk
than
to
him
about
and.
Me right now.
Yeah. What's that again? No, you're fine.
So go ahead and talk to her about me.
No, no, you're right here. You're going to be able to defend yourself. Now.
Dude, this is why Darcy's the champ.
Lucy, what do you think of Darcy as a wrestler? Like, where do you stand on hers? Like, the first time you ran in there and you saw the women's champion at Resistance Pro, Darcy Dixon, what did you think?
You know what? I actually met her at the beginning when she was training to be a pro wrestler.
I gotcha.
And she has come a very far in her career. I give her very much props because she has done an excellent job. I mean, she is the champion for a reason. She's definitely deserved it.
Now, you've been, how long have you been champion now?
Since April of last year.
Wow. So over
Holy cow.
So almost a full year, walking
almost.
Into this. Who would you say is your biggest rival when it comes right down
easy.
To it?
That's easy. You're going to talk to her, and it's not going to be as fun. I'm sorry, but when you get off the phone with me and you're on the phone with Mickey Knuckles, ratings may drop drastically, but she is definitely
did
my
you,
greatest
did you say
rival.
Did.
Did
you say I'm going to have to point at the ground and go pick that up, and she's going to be like, what? And I'll be like, that name you just dropped. Is that what's going to happen here?
Wow.
Like me and me, do we even drop?
What just happened?
Do we even drop Orton's name that much?
Oh, we do all the time.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. We who are we? I mean, we got to drop somebody's name that someone knows.
Fair enough. You just dropped Tom Pritchard's.
I know. I had no what's up, name dropper?
I dropped Ric Flair's before.
Good call.
There you go.
Good call.
Fair. Well, I have no choice on Orton. Like the rest.
There's stuff just falling all over the place here.
Pick
goodness.
That up. All right. Okay. Darcy Dixon. Let's get into some talk about, like, as a female professional wrestler, obviously, being a good-looking girl, we talked about that a little bit earlier. Walking
we can talk
into,
about that more anytime you want.
Okay, fair enough. Walking into these locker rooms, because I'm a former professional wrestler myself, uh-huh. Walking into these, I understand, you know, sometimes the women have their own spot, but, you know, there's usually a lot of crossing of paths between uh-huh. the male and the female locker rooms.
Yeah.
Good-looking guys, obviously. Good-looking mm-hmm. girls, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be very tough when it comes to, like, when you get hit on by another wrestler or someone backstage within the organization or around the business in itself. Do you think that, like, detracts from what you are trying to achieve in your career as a professional wrestler? Do you take it personally? How do you view that aspect?
Like, I've had this conversation before. I feel like if you are there to wrestle and that's what you care about, it's your job to put that out there with the way you act and what you say. If someone comes up to me after a match and they're like, I want to give you feedback on your match, blah, 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 that is what I'm going to talk to you about. That's it. Like,
Touché.
Please don't try to corner me and try to hit on me.
Yeah, but
I'm in the locker room.
And I'm sure you've run into that a few times, have you not?
Oh, yeah, definitely, but you learn how to deal with it. Like, anybody, like, you just put that out there, it's like, you know,
please,
I feel like
please.
With the way I carry myself back in the locker room, it's
no.
I don't think anyone in the locker room that's been in the locker room with me would say to you, she's back there to be hit on.
Oh, of course not. No. Please.
No, but I'm just saying, I feel like that's your personal responsibility.
Fair enough. And I respect that a lot, you know, because I understand what it takes to get into this business. I've slept in enough freezing cold cars that were 10 degrees and woke up in a city I didn't like. Like, I understand what it takes to get to where you want to be. My question for you at this point is, please enlighten our show. Tell us a story about one of the biggest just absolute attempts and fails at something like that. Just where it was just a crash and burn, hardcore.
No, like, okay, so I don't really, I don't want to mention any names.
Don't have to mention any names. We don't need no names.
There's a person at like some local shows around like North Carolina, South Carolina area.
Okay.
Who I think is legit like been hit in the head too many times. Like there's something wrong with him. And he, like, makes the circle through the locker room, and he'll stop and talk to, like, me and whoever I'm wrestling. Which, at the time, I can think of specifically, you guys may know Lady Tapa. She's on TNA right now.
Oh, yeah.
I wrestled her a lot. Like, we both kind of started. She started, I think, maybe a year before I did. We're from the same area, so we wrestled each other a lot. There was this one guy that would always be in the locker room with us, and I guess he would forget that he had already talked to us. So he would, like, come through, and he'd be like, I hope you guys have a good match, good luck, and he would shake our hands, and we'd be like, okay, thank you, and we'd be, like, working on things, and then he'd come back through, like, 5 minutes later, and he'd say the exact same thing, and, like, throughout the night, like, it, like, 20 times, this one person would come through and wish us good luck and hope that we had a good match.
Wow.
And, like, finally, we're like, yeah, thanks, go. Like, towards the end, it's like,
crazy, man.
Stop. Like, we would have to run from him because he'll corner you. And, like, at first, I was like, this dude really wants to talk to us. But it turns out, like, I talked to other people. Lodi is who trained me, if you're familiar with him.
Lodi from the Flock?
Yes. He was my trainer, and I told him about it. And he's like, oh, that guy, he has a mental problem. Like, he just really does not remember talking to you.
All right. That's crazy. I'm sorry that you have to deal with things like that, because I've never had to deal with anything like, well, I mean, I do have to deal with things like that. Don't get me wrong. Like, I do get hit on a lot.
I'm sure Lucy probably can tell you about this, because have you seen her? She's gorgeous. But there are the people who aren't very good at wrestling themselves, but they're like, I watched your
Like Dan Walsh? Yeah, we know.
Feedback.
Okay, go ahead.
And they'll be like, some, like, random person you've never heard of that's never accomplished anything wants to stand and talk to you for 45 minutes and give you feedback about how you can be a better wrestler. That's my favorite.
What do you consider someone who's never accomplished anything, though? Like,
oh,
like,
did I just sound like a jerk?
No, it's okay. It's all right. You're more than welcome to. I mean, you are the champion. I mean, the champ can say whatever she wants.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the way.
I mean, Lucy can back me up on this, maybe. But it'll be somebody, like, on a show who, for some reason or another, feels like they are, you know, in a position.
Like, somebody who's really talented, like a Mary Dobson. Somebody who's really, really skilled at what she does.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about, like, a dude. Like a dude who just comes up.
Wow.
Yeah, no, like, it just is, like, giving you wrestling advice as a way of hitting on you, but they're giving you really, really bad advice, and they don't know what they're talking about.
Listen, when you put somebody into an arm bar, this is what let me put my arm. I got to put my hand right around your waist here. This is how you need to start. You know, like, I've seen that.
You know what you sound like when you do that voice?
Oh,
do
who's
that voice again.
Hey, what's going on?
Sound like Dan Walsh?
You sound like Jay Bradley.
Jay Bradley. It's really funny because when he used to call matches to me, I used to make fun back at him.
Did you do that same voice back to him? And he was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Windy City. Up in Windy City, there was a few matches. Never mind. We ain't going to get back into the past. Listen, here's the situation. It makes me feel bad. I started, like, the mid-90s. I, like, retired by 2005. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when I talk about this, I'm like, oh, man, you know, Reckless Youth is the bomb and all this. And people are like, who? Exactly. That's exactly it. So, all right. You just recently had a match with somebody I just mentioned, Mary Dobson. Is that not true?
Yep. Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely talking to you, Resistance Pro Champion.
Fairly recently, I think it was October, our October show.
Okay. And how did that go?
It went well. I won.
You won the match.
Still
obviously,
champ.
You're still the champ. And
I'm still the champ. She's
right.
Very talented, though.
So, who is lined up right now for you? Where are you at? Like, who are you? Like, come on, champ. Let's be honest. Darcy Dixon's a fighting champion. She's not a punk. Okay, so if you're not a punk and you're a fighting champion, who are you eyeing? Who do you want to put down right now?
Who do I want to put down? Well, you know, I feel like there's still a little unrest about the whole Mickey Knuckles situation.
Ah, I see, Mickey Knuckles. There seems to be
because
a little bit of a...
the last, I've beat her twice. I've not one time. I beat her twice. I have beaten her twice.
Is that two times?
Yes.
Are you two-time? Two-time? Two-time?
I've beaten her twice.
Okay.
But at the last show, she made some sort of declaration that she's been watching my films and she knows what my weakness is or something. I don't know what she's talking about, but I feel like she's still making a run.
I think I heard something about two times.
Two times?
So, if you were to ask me if I've beaten her, I would have to tell you that I have beaten her twice.
Twice.
Two times.
All right.
Fair and square. 1, 2, 3.
We're going to discuss this with Mickey Knuckles here shortly on the queue, because she's going to be calling in, and we're going to talk to her about Darcy Dixon. And
I'm
we're going to talk
to her. I'm glad that she is not in the studio with you, because she will lick your face.
Is she hot? Is she hot?
Well, I don't care if she's hot or not. I don't want her to lick my face.
Oh, well, we're guys, though. I mean, guys, like, if it's a cute girl, like, they're going to be like, oh, well, it's okay.
We're much more pathetic than the women's champion, okay? We will.
Activities such as that.
What's that?
Germs can be spread through those activities.
Fair enough. I'm very sorry. What song do you come out to when you wrestle?
Oh, well, when I wrestle anywhere besides Resistance, I have two songs I come out to.
Okay.
Sometimes I come out to Circus by Britney Spears.
All right.
Touché.
And sometimes I come out to Epic by Faith No More.
Oh.
Get out of here. Great choice of music, young lady.
What if we introduced Mickey Knuckles brought her in with Epic? Would that be a slap in the face to Mickey Knuckles? I think that'd be a slap in the face to Mickey Knuckles.
No, because we actually have our music written for us. She's like a music director of Resistance, so we have our own entrance themes.
Ah, wow, that's really cool.
Sweet.
We're badass.
All right, well, you know what, Darcy Dixon, we're getting short here on time. We really appreciate you coming on the show to talk about women's wrestling as well as being the Resistance Pro Women's Champion.
Well, thank you.
And first off, I want you to go ahead and let everybody else know where they can find out more about Resistance Pro and a little bit about what's coming up for you.
Okay, you can check out Resistance Pro at resistancepro.com. And you can find out what's happening with me on my Twitter, which is it's D_RC Dixon. And that's because they don't let you use apostrophe.
D_RC, A-R-C-Y, Dixon, D-I-X-O-N.
Yes.
There it is. You should follow us. Follow CC Papa. That's S-I-S-I-P-O-P-P-A. That's Bobby, producer Bobby. You could follow Dan Walsh, Dan Walsh 83. That's his. And, of course, you can follow me at Mark Bland, because I'm just at Mark Bland. And I'm sure
you follow me first, and I'll follow you back.
Darcy, it's about to happen. It's about to happen.
I don't know about that, Darcy. To be honest, you and me kind of, we might have to wrestle soon.
There might be a little bit of a
battle that needs to happen here. Like, I have to pick.
Do you think that your ego can handle another loss in your life?
Oh! That'd make me 181-75. So, yeah, I think I can. I'm good. Okay. I think I can handle that. I'm good. All right, fair enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the women's champion from Resistance Pro Wrestling, Darcy Dixon, thank you so much for joining us today on the show. We really do appreciate it. Good luck in your matches coming up. Especially, we're going to talk to Mickey Knuckles here. Is there anything you want us to tell her?
I mean, just that I've already beaten her twice, so maybe move on with her life.
Okay.
It's two times, though.
Two times, right?
What if we have to explain to her what two means.
She's
not very smart.
What if we just on accidentally say three? Just like be like, and you know, Darcy's beat you three times. Like, just throw that out there.
See what she says.
All right, fair enough. You're going to have to listen back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Darcy Dixon from Resistance Pro Wrestling, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Darcy Dixon. We are going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, it's going to be a lot more with Lucy Mendez, Dan Walsh, producer Bobby, Mark Bland, as well as Mickey Knuckles from Resistance Pro will be joining us. We'll be back after this.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today by Resistance Pro ladies wrestler Lucy Mendez. We just got off the phone with Darcy Dixon, the women's champion over there. We got producer Bobby Dan Walsh here as usual, and we're getting ready to walk into what I called fettered tether territory, okay? Because we've got a lady on the line right now. She's kind of a legend on the independent circuit, actually. A lot of people don't understand why. We'll probably get into that in a little bit here. But regardless of that, Darcy Dixon explained that she beat her three different times. Like, destroyed her three times. Over and over. We've got Mickey Knuckles from Resistance Pro Wrestling here. What's going on, Mickey?
First off, before we get into this.
Okay.
Am I supposed to censor myself?
No. Oh, yes, you should, because we are on syndicated radio for CBS and Fox, yes. 1280 AM KYRO and 1420 WINI, to be exact. So.
Okay. That is effing hilarious.
Okay, why is that? Why is that so hilarious? I'm confused.
That broad thinks that she destroyed me. That is hysterical.
That's kind of what happened. That's what we heard. Like, she said, first, She came in wearing like way too many clothes for somebody her size. We're like, oh, well, you know. So then,
excuse me.
I'm just here. Like, listen. And then she said she got in there. She threw a couple fists at me, thinking that it was going to do something. I pretty much kicked her teeth down her throat. I laid on top of her, and then I walked away with this big shiny metal thing around my waist, and it was really cool, and everybody cheered.
Oh,
and that happened a lot.
She failed to mention how I tried to drive her through the concrete on the outside. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. She didn't talk about that. Please enlighten us all.
Yeah, I was trying to send her back to Hades with a little... female dogs belong. This
well,
is a thing. I'm not used to it.
No, you're fine.
You made me mad for the rest of the night.
I'm so sorry. I apologize. Please don't beat me up. Please don't beat up Lucy and Bobby and all of us. Like, we didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Darcy Dixon's the one who's beat you four times. Like, it's not my fault.
How many times?
You want me to come there and punch you in the throat, don't you?
What? Wait a second. First off, let's give her a proper introduction, ladies and gentlemen. Mickey Knuckles is a women's wrestler with Resistance Pro Wrestling, and we welcome you to the show, to the Q. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mickey.
Yeah, thanks for having me now.
All right, fair enough. She did say that she destroyed you two times and then mentioned it 35 times. So if you multiply 2 times 35, that's like 70.
In her defense, though, she didn't say that she like beat her 35 times. She just kept saying 2 times 35 times.
So she failed to mention that if it wasn't for me making her famous as she is, that she'd still be on the street corner like little hookers seem to be.
Whoa! Ouch! Ladies and gentlemen, I think that we are seeing the, like, escalation of a match between Mickey Knuckles and Darcy Dixon coming up very, very soon. But, Mickey, let's not talk about Darcy anymore, okay? Let's get into you. Let's talk about you and your career. How long have you been a female wrestler?
Well, have you?
You've probably been a female who wrestles your entire life. How long have you been a wrestler?
Professionally since 2003.
Now, what were you doing before that that would make it unprofessional?
Well, I wrestled in high school some.
Oh, really? So you did the high school Greco-Roman thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I did backyard wrestling as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the high school background that you have. What was that like? Like, did you break down any in the area? Where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from everywhere, but the high school that I was in is Charlestown, Indiana.
Okay, so you're from Indiana.
Yes.
And so
it wasn't common for girls to be in any male sport. Let's just say I came from a high school where you had the girls that wore the Daisy Dukes and stuff that were the pretty preppy girls. You had the guys that were the jocks. And then you had the geeks.
Right. You had the Darcy Dixons.
I didn't fit in with anybody.
You had the Darcy Dixons, the Josephus Brodies, and then you had...
Whoa. Hold on a second. Let me reiterate. I said pretty girls with Daisy Duke.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Like Lucy.
Fair enough. But, you know, all right, fair enough. Okay, so...
I love that they all slam each other, and then they all just go back to...
They all go back to...
So they go back to...
No. Don't get it twisted.
Hey, it's like a cool smell. It's like a cool cigarette. Don't let the smooth taste fool you.
When we walk through that door, if we don't do what is expected of us as far as minding our P's and Q's in the locker room, once it gets in the ring, it's all legal.
All right, fair enough. Okay, but I want to go back to this. So you're in the state of Indiana, obviously a more conservative state overall, in general. And I don't know if you know much about the Q, the radio show we're doing. It's the best moderate, liberal, political-styled show in the United States. And sometimes we kind of break character because I'm a former pro wrestler, and we talk pro wrestling and have fun. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, obviously, being in a more conservative-minded state, you deciding to become a wrestler for the high school wrestling team, was that breaking down some barriers there?
I think the barrier started when I tried to join the football team. And I got told I wasn't allowed to because there was Powder Puff, and let's face it, Powder Puff, whatever. So then when I tried to join the wrestling team, because they didn't have a female alternative, they had to let me on the team for the conditioning and stuff. And that was interesting because you got to think, you have all these teenage boys, you know, pubescent, adolescent, whatever, and they're on the mat, and then you've got me, which I've never been a small girl. I've always been chunky, I'm not going to lie, and more cushioning. And you got me on the mat with them. It's a little awkward, especially at that time and age, you know, for them. for me, it was more or less, you know, I'm going to beat the hell out of this guy because this guy picked on my friend who's a geek and a dork.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how I felt about it. And then eventually the state board, the education board, pulled me off of the wrestling team.
What?
Now, see, Mickey, I keep getting, like, little chimes in here from Bobby. Like, he's like, what she's saying is 100% right. Like, when I was a female trying to wrestle against
Bobby
the boys.
Bobby really
like,
identifies with being a chunky female wrestler for some reason. He's really getting into this.
No. In high school, when I was wrestling, I the only person in my weight class was a girl.
Really?
So when we would practice, I had to wrestle against the girl. Well, I put her in a half Nelson, and I went to go do, I think it was a fireman's carry. She tried to roll out of it, and something happened, and her neck popped, and she blacked out. I thought I killed the girl, and I just got up and walked away. I was like, Coach, I can't do this anymore. Just
oh,
left.
I thought you were going to tell me that you pitched a spandex tent.
Oh.
That's really what happened. Bobby's
probably got a spandex tent pitched right now after listening to you, Mickey.
She whooped his ass.
All right. So,
keep it censored.
So you've been in wrestling since 2003. And like I said, I'm semi-retired, I guess. I've come out of retirement to get
Nobody
back in.
Nobody ever retires.
Yeah, I know. I just talk the BS game. There's people who smack me around every time I say that. But I have been around since, like, the mid-90s. That's when I started in the business. And by, you know, the late 90s, I was traveling around to places like NWA Wildside, all kinds of different places, just traveling around and working the independent scene. And I know that around the time that I was getting ready to get out of the business, you made a little waves on the independent circuit. And it wasn't you specifically. You just happened to be a part of the match where the waves were made. And there was a situation. And please, fill in anything, because I'm trying to, like, explain this based off the top of my head memory from back then.
Okay.
But there was a situation where there was a young man who was getting on message boards, and he was creating a stink. And he was invited to come to a wrestling.
No. You've already gotten it mixed up.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Tell the story.
So what had happened was, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Let me start from here.
Okay.
When IWA Mid-South was doing Queen of the Death Matches, we were trying to bring the Japanese style of women's deathmatch wrestling to the state.
Right.
Because we thought there might be a market for it. Because there were several girls interested in doing it. However, when it came day for the show, several girls who said, yes, I'm going to be there, took the booking and everything else, decided last minute they weren't going to come. These are the most ridiculous reasonings. Either because they got tattoos and didn't want to get the tattoos destroyed, they got new boob jobs a week before and didn't think about it. Now, no offense, but you know, if you're going to get that done, you're not supposed to be doing that.
Whatever the reason.
Anyway, so 2 to 3 years go by, and every year we had cancellations. Well, on the third year, I made sure to have backup girls, and I thought I had enough. Well, one too many girls called in and canceled. So we were like, what do we do? And originally, the idea had been pitched that Tank from Georgia, the big Tank, wanted to be in the tournament kind of as a retaliation against me for beating him at King of the Death. And he wanted to do it, and we were going to do a storyline based off of that. Well, then Mike Burns, who owns Smart Mark Video, comes over and says, no, Ian, I got a better idea. Why don't we put this kid in the match? His name is Mike Levy. He's all over the internet cutting promos and stuff saying he should be in any deathmatch tournament.
Right,
he bought
okay.
a ticket. He's sitting out there. He basically flew himself in to watch King of the Deathmatch and bought a 2-day pass to both shows. Queen was the afternoon, King was the night. And so he's like, no, let me go see if this kid wants to do it. Da, da, da. So he goes out there and talks to Mike Levy. Mike Levy's like, yeah, I brought my stuff. So he gets brought in the back, and Ian introduces everybody to him. He's like, okay, this is what we want. You know, they gave him his money back for his ticket or whatever, and they said, this is what we want. And they basically laid it out, and they said, can you do this match with Mickey where it's a squash match? I'm not going to lie, that's what they asked him. He said, yeah, absolutely. So they told him to go out there and cut a promo. I have no idea if there was supposed to be like a storyline afterwards or not. I just got told what to do. So he goes out there and cuts a promo. I come out to the ring. We start the match. Next thing you know, and I've always done the unprotected headbutts, but I've always done them in the crown of the skull. I've never done them to anybody's eyes or nose.
Right.
And I headbutted him with the headbutt. Solid, safe, hard, whatever. Next thing you know, he's headbutting me right in the eye.
So he came back at you pretty heavy.
And he just keeps going. You can hear me on tape going, stop. No, don't. And then I punched him in the face to get his attention. The rest of the match, people, you have no idea how mad this match made people. Where the rest of the match was, I would do something to him and walk away, and he would pop right back up. And it was just like that. It got so ridiculous to the point of I just gave up trying to make the match any decent. I gave him a belly-to-belly off the top through a barbed wire ladder and went in the back because I was frustrated. Next thing you know, I hear, hey, Mickey, you're one at ringside. So I go to come out, and I see everybody ringside. And I'm like, well, I don't know what it is. I wasn't told what this was going to be, so I wasn't a part of it. I don't want to get in trouble, da-da-da. Thinking that if, you know, it was a storyline that had nothing to do with me that they planned, I don't want to. I was in training. I was still green. I didn't want to get in trouble.
Right, of course. Yeah, you're young in the business.
A little while later, I broke my leg. This is how mad people got. When I broke my leg, I'm in the hospital bed, and my sister is up there with me, and so is Jim Fannin, and we're all talking. My sister's looking on the internet and stuff. The next she knows, she sees people saying, I hope you get a blood clot in your brain and die. You should have broke your neck, not your leg. You're a fat piece of shit. Da-da-da-da. That's what you get. Karma.
So let's... now, hold on.
What the hell is this all about?
Yeah, definitely. Before you go any further, let's fill it out a little bit, just because people might have gotten lost there. What happens is after Mickey's done with her match against the individual, a few of the wrestlers from the back come out and they continue to beat on the young man. And evidently people in the crowd, the police were called. It seemed like the situation got out of control. Like there was no one stopping this. It went from being a part of the show to where it became very real, very fast.
Ian's son was hitting the guy too.
Yeah, like, I mean, they were beating him pretty badly. Now, Mickey was not involved in this section of the match itself.
Nope.
And so that's where we start here with her being in the hospital, foot broken, our leg broken, and, you know, people are like, they're outraged because they saw the match, Mickey was involved, then they saw the aftermath, they put two and two together thinking everybody was in on it type thing,
yeah.
And now you're getting, like, lambasted by the internet community, wrestling fans, all kinds of people.
Oh, and the worst part about it is they don't even address what happened afterwards. That's not even what people are acting like they're mad about. They're talking about how unsafe I am during the match. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Because everything that I've given him, I've taken myself. Nobody threw a conniption fit when I wrestled brain damage or necro butcher in death matches and got my head knocked clean off. And nobody cared that a 5-gallon water jug with thumbtacks lining it, you know, broke on my face. But my God, you get the
I can,
like, well, he was mentally handicapped. No, he wasn't.
No, I get it.
He was,
like,
fully functional, and he was trained.
And that's the thing. I think that people, like, they get the wrong idea. When you say, like, Necro Butcher, you're talking about a guy who's well-known, who's been in the business a while. He seems to have a little bit more experience behind him, so he kind of makes his own decisions. I think a lot of people were getting the idea that this was some random individual that was thrown into this situation, kind of like the famous New Jack situation with I can't remember his name either.
The Grimes.
The Grimes situation. Like, you know, similar idea where there was somebody thrown into a situation and then it got out of control and people took advantage of that. But regardless of that, that's in your past. I just wanted to ask you about, like, looking back on that situation now. That's the only reason I brought it up. And thank you for telling the story. Do you view that? How do you view that now? Do you look in a bad light? Do you look at it as something of a learning that you took away from that? Or how do you view it now?
As far as something from my personal standpoint, something to deal with my life on a daily basis, I look at that as, you know, death matches take a certain type of person and takes a certain type of trust of each individual. It's not just random guys hitting each other with things. And death matches that have random guys hitting each other with things usually end very badly. Somebody ends up going to the hospital. Somebody ends up getting really hurt. That's what happens. You have to, if you're going to be in a match like that, you have to be able to trust your opponent as well as trust yourself, to the point of, even if there is that heat, even if you all are going to beat the hell out of each other, you know that you're going to walk away from it. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
From my personal standpoint now, I know that it's okay to say, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Right.
And not feel like
you were young, you were green, I get it. Yeah, you were young, you were green, and, you know.
As far as he's concerned, that was probably the best thing to ever happen to that kid, because before that happened, nobody knew who he was. Since that's happened, he's taken that 15 minutes of fame, and he's extended it out for the last, you know, what, 8 years?
Kind of like a Darcy.
Where when people start forgetting about it, he'll post a new video or something. Somebody's like, hey, did you see the new video? No, I don't pay attention to anything on YouTube or online.
Speaking of 15 minutes of fame, kind of like Darcy Dixon, right? Like, just, like,
Dude, grabbing it and just running with it. Darcy has a lot of potential.
She does. She does. She
Darcy
does.
Darcy has a lot of talent.
Right.
What Darcy does not have that I have not seen from her...
The gold belt?
...is that intensity and animosity.
Oh.
She doesn't deserve that belt.
Oh.
Because here's why. To hold a belt, especially for a bigger company...
You have to
like
pin somebody?
Pro,
right.
You have to be able to not only back it up... But you have to also be able that when your face is associated with that belt, people say, yeah, that is one bad person.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know, there's got to be some attitude to it.
And she's young. Don't get me wrong. She's got a lot of talent. She's got a lot of potential in this business. My job is to bring that out of her. And I know what my job is in this business. However, her mouth is overriding her butt. Granted, she has no butt to begin with because she looks like a 10-year-old boy from behind.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Now we're getting to it.
That's what we're getting to. Yeah, we're getting into it now. Hey, let's talk
but
a little.
I feel like I'm like the aunt or the mom, and my mother used to backhand the heck out of me when I was a kid.
My mother
was a Catholic, Italian. You know, my mother was very strict.
Mickey,
that's
hold on.
That's how I feel about her.
I've got to ask you: Are you the locker room general for the females? I mean, are you obviously you've been in there probably longer than any of the other females on the roster. So, do they look up to you as mama, kind of?
No, I think they're scared of me. Other than Lucy, Lucy's enticed.
Lucy, are you enticed?
Oh, I am.
I like Lucy because we get along because we're both crazy and we will cut somebody.
Whoa! She said she'll shake
it's
a woman.
The Mexican side of me. Yeah,
she'll shake somebody.
Lucy will pull blade
on
you.
Mexican side and my Irish side, we mix well.
All right, now Mickey Knuckles. Right now, obviously, I would say that Darcy Dixon's number one target on your list. Would I be correct?
Oh, you're absolutely correct. But see, people think this crazy is an act. It's really not. Ask Lucy. I have medicine that I have to take on a daily basis because doctors say I'm legit crazy.
Okay.
She's messed with somebody that is legit crazy and who has a really high pain tolerance. So now she's trying to make a name off of me, which makes me think, you know what? Maybe I need to remind people who I am.
Maybe you should bring jars of peanut butter with you to the ring and then, like, try to feed her so that she could get a little bit more size to her.
Right?
Yeah,
she's
like...
She's so small. It's like...
She tried to start a fight with me, Mickey.
She wants to wrestle me.
Like, I don't understand this.
Why?
I don't know.
He didn't instigate it at all.
Unless you want an STD, don't do it.
Oh, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the phone right now.
Women's wrestling is awesome.
With women's wrestler Mickey Knuckles of Resistance Pro. And Mickey, we only got a few more minutes with you here. Quick question for you. Growing up watching professional wrestling, they recently just released the GLOW, the GLOW, Women Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling documentary and stuff like that. Do you look back on GLOW or any of those organizations like that in a fond memory as like some of your predecessors? Or how do you view those older organizations, your moolahs and people like that?
In all honesty, the only reason I'm in this business is because of Miss Jackie, Miss Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
When I first started going to wrestling shows, my first live wrestling show was at the Louisville Gardens, and I watched Miss Texas beat up Downtown Bruno. And I told her that when I met her, and she told me I was aging her. I was like, no, seriously. I was sitting right there going, oh, my gosh, how do I do this? And so that made me really want to start watching wrestling more. As far as GLOW and stuff like that, I think it really started the pavement on trying to look at women's wrestling, that it could be a mainstay rather than just a bells and whistles type deal of a show.
Fair enough.
So I think it helped out a lot, especially since Resistance Pro is trying to do the same thing with their own women's division. They're building more girls every day, and, you know, who knows? Maybe eventually we'll get something like a spinoff like Ring of Honor did with Shimmer, or, you know.
Hey, well, that would be really great. And obviously, you being one of the more talented individuals in the locker room, I expect...
Can I quote you on that?
You can quote...
Back when I'm right next to Darcy before we go out.
Listen, you can quote walking reality Mark Bland on that right there.
The polar vortex, Mark Bland.
Use my aliases.
We need to do a shot of Jack together.
Unfortunately, I actually got knocked with the nickname... Two nicknames early in my career. Liquid Ice... Which it was that was funny, and the Natural. Those were the two that I got knocked with. Was the Natural
and
Liquid
Robert
Ice.
Redford was
so
the natural.
Moose
Knuckle.
No
Moose Knuckle.
Whoa, what's going on over here? I don't understand this Mickey Knuckle Moose Knuckle thing.
Hey, listen, it's an enticing
TNA,
name.
TNA. They gave me the name when I first showed up because Mickey Knuckles is my legit shoot name.
Hey, listen,
it was my birth name.
Real quick, what was that experience on Jerry Springer like? What's up with that? Real quick, before we get out of here with you.
I'm not legally allowed to talk about it.
Oh, really?
What?
Wow. You can't talk about the Jerry Springer days, huh?
No, not legally. I signed a paper saying I wouldn't. I don't want to get sued, do you?
No. The question was, what were you on the show for? What?
Oh, because I cheated on my boyfriend who was going to the war in Iraq on his best friend who was supposed to watch after me while he was gone. Because
was that legit?
I didn't approve of the war.
Was it legit? Like,
I
did
can't
you really
talk about it?
Oh, okay.
Don't get her sued, man.
Ladies and gentlemen,
what a great host. Hey, Mickey, come on, talk about wrestling. We'll get you sued.
You guys are ruining this show, ladies and gentlemen. Mickey Knuckles of Resistance Pro Wrestling here on the Cube. Mickey, tell everybody where they can find you and contact you if they want to get in contact with you.
I'm on the I'm on Facebook every day. Mickey Knuckles, Twitter, Mickey L Knuckles. You can also contact me through any show. Come out and see me. I am a hoot to hang out with. Just ask everybody else.
You seem like a hoot to hang out with.
We're going out for drinks after a show.
Are you on Twitter by any chance?
We go willy-nilly.
Are you on Twitter by any chance? Hey, are you on Twitter by any chance?
Yes, I am. It's at Mickey L. Knuckles.
And what's the website over there, Bobby, for Resistance Pro Wrestling?
It's resistancepro.com, www.resistancepro.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mickey Knuckles, thank you so much for joining us today on the Cue. We really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy day.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Don't ever have that one hooker back on there.
Okay, fair enough. Darcy Dixon of Resistance Pro, also resistancepro.com is where you can find out more about these ladies. Good luck in your attempts to get that title, okay, Mickey?
Don't lose five times.
All right. We will see you guys later. We'll be back on the queue after this.
It's going down. Yelling timber, you better move, you better dance, let's make a night, you won't remember, I'll be the one, you won't forget.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue, of course, Mark Bland. We've been talking to the ladies of Resistance Pro Wrestling, Darcy Dixon, as well as Lucy Mendez and Mickey Knuckles, who had some very choice words for our friend Darcy Dixon. My goodness.
She sure did.
She was not happy with Darcy.
Yeah, and I don't even know why that escalated so much, because it wasn't like there was someone there picking at him.
Lost 17 times.
It's a lot of times to lose to Darcy Dixon. That's all I'm going to say.
I just can't wait till they go into the locker room this weekend and they start fighting right there. She's like, listen, bitch, you say this to me? And then she's like, I have no idea. And then they all figure out it's you.
Wow. You just said the B word. Listen, here's the situation.
What can we not say? I'm so sorry.
You're fine. Listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal about these women. And, Darcy challenged me, basically. She wants to wrestle Mark Bland.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be a tag team of Mark Bland and Dan the Animal Walsh. Versus Mickey Knuckles and Darcy Dixon.
They'd kick your guys'
ass. I think the Latvian superstar. I think we could take them out. Don't you think so, Latvia?
I'm just saying. I
just added another alias for you,
a
by
Latvian.
The way.
Yeah, I know. I got like
the
I'm
walking reality, the polar vortex, the Latvian superstar,
the Latvian
Dan
superstar.
Walsh.
I think we should. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd definitely be fun. I think you should
only
definitely take
if we
heat.
Could get Billy Corrigan to be the referee for the match. I've got to have Billy Corrigan as the referee for the match. I'll do it. I'll do it in a second. I'll pull my boobies out and play it. I'll play the game.
I'll talk to him this weekend and let him know.
All right, you let him know.
But before the match, he has to sing our entrance music.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
I was going to say.
No, well, I mean, that might be a little overkill and stuff like that. It's going to be really hard for him to deny it when we do 1979 as our entrance music. Like, that's just going to be.
What if he, like, before he rests it, he just sues us right there? Like, we don't even get into the match and he's like, copyright
infringement, man.
Are you kidding me? I'm an artist, man.
Well, if you'd like to find out more about the Resistance Pro stars, go to resistancepro.com. Find out about all their schedules that are coming up for all their great events. And Lucy, you were saying something about coming up real soon, actually.
We do. We have one on Saturday. It's called Girls, Girls, Girls. It's an 8-woman tournament. And the lucky lady will win not only a nice little trophy, but also a Resistance Pro contract.
And are you a part of that?
I am not a part of the tournament.
Okay. Are you on the card, though? I mean, are you wrestling?
We are all scheduled to appear. I do not know.
Okay, fair enough.
What the card will be like.
Let's talk a little bit about your, you know, we've had you sitting here chiming in left and right, but we haven't really talked to you a little bit. How long have you been a professional wrestler?
5 years now.
5 whole years. Yeah. Now, where did you start?
I started at Harley Races Academy.
Okay, so you were trained by Harley.
Yes.
And what was it like your first time getting in there as a female? Like, you know, obviously you've seen the Moolahs, you've seen the Mae Youngs, you know, mm-hmm. you've seen the videos of Wendy Richter at WrestleMania and all these things like that. And, you know, obviously it's a very male-dominated sport. You know, what was it like the first time you stepped into the squared circle?
It was really intimidating. I had Trevor Murdoch as a trainer as well.
Oh, really? So love Trevor.
It was pretty intimidating. At Harley's, you're taught to be trained as a male. So there's no, you know, oh, she's a girl, don't pick on the girl. It's all equal there.
Oh, wow. So. Interesting. So, okay, we had the question for Darcy Dixon about getting hit on in the locker room and stuff like that. And she had mentioned, oh, yeah, you know, Lucy's around it. She knows what it's going on. Have you encountered a lot of that in your career?
I actually, not from the boys, no.
Trevor said, I'll trade you some dip, girl.
Obviously. But you probably get some creepy fans that come up. Like,
I do.
You, like, I mean, we're not going to name names or anything like that. I'm sure that there's people that do it all the time, you know.
I think you should name all of them and addresses.
Wow. Dan Walsh.
Facebook aliases.
You want it to be like the end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, where they kept going to people's houses. Are you so-and-so at blahblahblah.com?
I see we should just call them right now. And just be like, come on, man. Do you need to talk to every female while breathing extremely heavy?
That might be Bobby. Is that you, Bobby?
Is that you?
Only no. if you play that hey, song again, on? Dude.
Only if you play Timber.
It's me. It's been Bruce Bobby.
He has been playing Pitbull for me today.
All right, fair enough. Well, I had some questions that I wanted to throw at you specifically because, you know, I like to take people out of their element a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, all right. You ready? Do you have any hobbies outside of the business of professional wrestling? Do you have some hobbies? Like something that you like to do? Are you a scrapbooker?
I am not a scrapper. And I am not artsy at all.
Do you do you play in a band? Like, do you have any hobbies?
I help people with Spanish.
You help people with Spanish?
Sí.
¿Por qué?
¿Por qué?
¿Por qué? No?
Sí.
Oh my goodness!
Do you make a mean quesadilla?
Oh yes, I do.
Are you originally from Mexico?
No, I am not. My parents are.
What part?
They are from Chihuahua, Mexico.
Chihuahua,
Chihuahua,
yes.
Chihuahua. Every person I've ever met has always been from Guadalajara. Every person I've ever met is like, I'm from Guadalajara.
My best friends are from a town around Guadalajara.
Now, question.
No. Hold on. Say it like that again.
Guadalajara.
Dude, that's awesome.
Now, question for you is the fact that, you know, over the last few years down in Mexico, it's gotten dirty.
The
cartels, the drugs, the situation, it's gotten very dangerous. I mean, we're talking about opening, and we've talked about this on the show because the Q is technically political. We've talked about the fact that they have pits of people, 1,200 men, women, children, you know, dead, like, and they're uncovering them all over the place and stuff like that. As your parents coming from that part of the world, how do they view that situation? Have they talked about it with you? Have you guys, you know, have you had any conversations about that?
We actually, the last time that I was in Mexico was about 5 years ago.
Okay.
4 or 5 years ago. We haven't gone back since all the cartel and all that stuff started.
Yeah.
Wow. For the same reason.
Now, supposedly, the government released out, and I think I talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago, the government of Mexico has released the ban on militias. They've pretty much given up against the cartels and said the police are not doing anything. So they had a ban on militias. Like you couldn't have like a privatized army type thing. They've released the ban on it. And evidently a couple of the militias have already gone through and like wiped out a couple of gangs out of certain sections of Mexico completely. Hello. Just eradicated them.
It's awful. I mean, one of my cousins was actually killed in a cartel.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's hit home.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to move on here with the queue because I have other questions I want to ask you. All right, here we go. This is going to be a tough one. Dan Walsh, you can answer this one too. This one's for you and Dan Walsh.
I thought it was for Lucy.
This is for Lucy.
How did Dan Walsh
this? This is for Lucy and Dan Walsh. If
you
Dan
wear a
chooses.
Certain pair of underwear when you come out to the ring.
The question is, Channing Tatum or Justin Timberlake?
Tatum.
All right. She likes her Magic Mike moment is what she liked. Did you see Magic Mike?
I did watch Magic Mike.
Magic Mike 2
comes
out.
I did.
Magic Mike 2
comes
out next
year. I did
not
like that Kevin Nash was in it, though.
Really? That blew your mind?
He's a horrible dancer.
So what?
They're all horrible dancers. Did you see them?
Not Tatum. Tatum was good.
They had umbrellas and stuff. My wife made me watch it. It was
Matthew
weird.
Oh,
I'm sure she
took
did.
His shirt
off. You poor man.
Well, I had a laptop on my lap, and I was typing things. Every once in a while, I'd peek up because they were,
My wife fell asleep. I watched the whole thing by myself.
I know. Wow. Bobby's, actually so getting weird. Mad that somebody said that Kevin Nash couldn't dance. He's like, what? What does that matter? Look what they looked like. They're so chiseled.
They glistened in the lights.
They were, chiseled out of rock from Greek gods.
Just so you know, Magic Mike 2, next year, 2015.
That's Bobby's going to be waiting in line the night before with a sleeping bag and a Magic Mike
lunchbox. Everybody else does it for Harry Potter. I do it for Magic Mike.
Yeah.
But right. I would take Justin Timberlake.
Okay, fair
really?
Enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would take Justin Timberlake, too.
See,
I'm kind of big on that one, yeah.
I'd
take some
Magic
sexy
Mike
love.
For Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, you're Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. I just saw the movie Dallas Buyers Club.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing, but he is really thin. Scary
yeah.
thin
he's
in that movie.
He's weird, gross.
He's probably going to win the Academy Award for Best Actor.
I hope so.
I would be amazed if he does.
I just saw him in True Detective and that thing on HBO, and I got hooked.
People are telling me that's a great show.
It is amazing. Him and Woody Harrelson are awesome in that.
All right, next question for you. What is your favorite romantic comedy?
I don't have one.
You don't have a romantic comedy. There's nothing that
Machete.
Just...
Machete?
Like, if I
Machete.
Ask...
Machete.
If I ask...
Machete.
With Michelle Rodriguez. Anything with Michelle Rodriguez.
If I asked... Machete. If I asked my wife, she would be like Sweet Home Alabama or maybe like Legally Blonde.
Seriously?
You know? No, nothing.
I'm not a romantic comedy.
Not even any of the Jennifer Lopez ones?
Mm-mm.
Wow. You go for a wedding planner or a fever pitch?
I've watched Jennifer Lopez movies, but...
She's like, I like enough because she beats people up.
I just want to acknowledge that the level of gay that is, that has hit in this studio between the two married men is unbelievable. You
what's
better
your,
hope your
what's
wives
your,
will
what's your
to
favorite
this.
Movie? Favorite movie.
I like the Fast and the Furious movies.
The original one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a good movie. Those
well,
are good
I mean,
movies.
That,
solid movies.
That was when everybody poured their heart and soul into those trying roles.
So now we have to really put it up to the test. I know he's passed away, but Paul Walker or Channing Tatum?
Ooh. See, that's unfair because if she doesn't choose him, she seems like an a-hole.
I mean, if you want to throw into Vin Diesel, why would you seem like an a-hole? You could throw Vin Diesel in there. You want some Diesel?
I want some Diesel.
Diesel versus The Rock. How was that for you? Was that exciting?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was exciting.
Rock Diesel.
All right.
Rock Diesel.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are sitting here with Lucy Mendez of Resistance Pro. And if you guys want to find out more about her, as well as all the Resistance Pro people, check out resistancepro.com. Let's move on with the show. I've got a few things. Plus, we got Game On, Game Off that we're going to be doing here real soon. But, this is going to be odd. Okay, I'll give you a choice. Do you want to go into the weird stuff that's been going on, or do you want to go into this really interesting story that I have about sex?
Interesting story about sex.
I would concur.
Only if it has to do with Matthew McConaughey for Bobby over there.
Okay. Have you ever wondered whether your state's population is objectively better than those chumps in North Dakota? Well, we're one step closer to finding out thanks to the folks over at Nerve.com, ladies and gentlemen. Using data from the sex tracking app Spreadsheets, Nerve made a map displaying how long the average sex session takes in each state. Bad news for North Dakota... Haters, the state actually seems to be doing pretty well for itself, with the average sex session clocking in at 3 minutes and 18 seconds.
That's it?
Granted, these times are only for people who are using the app, so if you live in Alaska, 1 minute and 21 seconds total, don't feel too bad. Maybe those Alaskans who track their sex times are just unusually swift. The times also don't encompass the entire realm of the sexual time activities like foreplay and half-assed massages. Let's be honest,
It always leads to it.
Only in the act of itself being covered. Still, we have to give it to New Mexico, clocking in at an average of 7 minutes and 1 second.
Whoa.
Whose population sex sessions last nearly a minute and a half longer than those of the second longest state, West Virginia, 5 minutes and 38 seconds.
Whoa.
Maybe Walter White knows something we don't.
These people are all 80 times longer than... Never mind.
So here's it is. They have a breakdown. They have a chart breakdown here. Hold on here. No, I want to read a couple of them. I'll let you see it.
Lucy's like, I got to go. Lucy's like, what state do I need to move to?
Now, here's the thing. The state of Missouri actually is in the highest bracket.
Yeah.
They clock in between the 7 minute and 1 second North New Mexico and 3 minutes and 38 seconds. Like, that's the bracket from 338 up to 7 minutes and 1 second. So we could be 4 minutes. We could be 4 minutes.
That's all so
long. But literally, that's better than the other four categories. There's four categories of other states where you have 3 minutes and 33 to 306, 304 to 246, 238 to 219, and 218 to a minute and 21 seconds.
That's what I'm talking about.
All I am saying is Michigan is not looking pretty.
Ooh. How about Kansas? I'm from Kansas.
Kansas is coming in at about 304 to 246.
Oh, that sucks.
304
That's
to
really
246.
Long. That's really long.
Wow, Bobby. Dan.
I feel bad, how you doing over there?
You doing good?
I mean, it only takes 30 seconds to make a kid.
If you're using an app, you're probably not the best at sex anyways.
Fair enough. All right.
Number two, those are incredibly low times. And I'm not trying to be that guy that's like, oh, look at me, I'm just an
exception. But those are the averages, dude.
But that's probably intercourse itself. That's not, like they said, all the stuff that leads around
I think there's a tie scientifically to the state with the most ADD having the highest sex times.
Okay.
Because guys who have sex and have ADD, there's probably a lot of ADD down there because they're kind of like, oh my God, did I just put that stuff in the wash like 45 minutes ago or was it 30?
So you think that they're just thinking about other things. They're like, are there more people coming over the border? Is there a cartel?
Orale, home, we got to get to the Rio.
That could be hard.
Touché.
Orale, vato, orale, orale. Touché.
All right. So anyway, if you want to check out that, you guys can go to nerve.com and look for the Sex in America session chart.
Wow.
So, all right, let's talk a little bit about this Georgia cop, okay? A 17-year-old Georgia JROTC student was fatally shot in his home this past week by a law enforcement officer who mistook his Nintendo video game controller for a weapon. According to the lawyer for the boy's family, the local officer who shot him was looking for the boy's father in a small town between Atlanta and Chattanooga, according to Atlanta's WSB-TV. Christopher Roop, 17, was in the ROTC at Woodland High School and wanted to join the Marines. Roop's young life ended this past week when Hewerly police officers showed up at the door of his home in Eagleview Mobile Park home to serve probation violation warrant for his father. The female police officer told GBI investigators that Roop pointed a gun at her when he opened the door. It just doesn't add up, says Cole Law, who is representing Roop's family. Law said Roop was about to watch a movie. We don't know where this statement came from. The eyewitnesses on the scene clearly state that he had a Wii controller in his hand. He heard a knock on the door. He asked who it was. There was no response, so he opened the door, and upon opening the door, he was immediately shot in the chest, Law said. The officer, who was placed on leave pending a state-level investigation, was immediately remorseful, according to Ken Yates, the neighbor of the Roops. She came out of the house, she said. She put her head in her hands, and she was sobbing uncontrollably. Which I would understand, but this is not going to bode well, guys, for the police department there. I mean, you got crime scene photos. The kid's laying there with a bloody Wii controller in his hand, and he was just shot.
Yeah, but...
All right, you don't have no video of
it. No, hold on. It sounds awful when you just put it out in that perspective, but also, let's get the backstory. They're showing up for a probation violation. We don't know what the probation violation, what the original crime was. They also knock and they get no response. So this woman is walking into this place where there could potentially be a high risk for danger. As she comes in, because there is no response, the first thing that she has is an object pointed at her. She's not trying to take the kid out, but she's going to do what's first because that's the only moments that you have.
And I
agree. If he had a gun, he'd have put it on her ass. She would have been killed.
But it was the officer. It wasn't the officer who knocked and didn't get a response. He replied and didn't get a response.
Oh, I thought it said that she knocked.
He replied and never got a response. No response. So then he decided to open the door.
Okay, so maybe she didn't hear him.
But at the same point, I would have thought that, first off, if I knock, I'm going to take a few steps away from the door, obviously. And I'm going to, like, protect myself.
But
right?
Not only that.
I'm also going to wait for them to open the door. I'm not just going to start firing blindly the minute the door comes open.
Because that's what she did.
Yeah, but no.
Because
you guys are
in this case, he would literally have to have his hand extended.
And I'm gonna tell you this. How do they know he didn't with the controller?
It's very possible he might have had his hand extended.
Because I'm gonna tell you this. If I'm a police officer and I'm going in, and I'm sorry, there's trailer parks we live around that are extremely dangerous, and I'm going in for a probation violation, I open the door, you have something pointed at me, I'm gonna shoot you. I'm sorry. And that's any kind of trick. You only have that second. If you hesitate, you're dead. You don't know what this lady has seen leading up to that. You don't know how much she has to face. I don't like that they just make it out automatically that this lady went in because she's sobbing.
There's a lot of missing pieces.
Yeah, she's obviously distraught about it.
Well, I've got another story here that's also kind of interesting that's kind of down the same road, so we got to check this one out. Arkansas girl who's 15 pulls a prank, okay? A group of Little Rock teenagers decided to play a prank at the home of a friend who played a prank on them. According to the police, the friend's father came out of the house and fired several shots at the car they were in, killing one of the teens. According to Little Rock police, at 1 a.m. this past Saturday morning, seven teens went to the Little Rock home of Willie Noble, 48 years old. When they saw a vehicle on the property, they threw leaves, mayonnaise, toilet paper, and other debris on the car. The seven then got out of the car and were preparing to leave, got into their car and were preparing to leave when Noble came out of his house and allegedly just started firing shots into the vehicle. Adrian Broadway, 15, was shot in the head and later died in the hospital. The driver of the car was shot in the arm. He was taken to a hospital, treated, and released. None of the other teens were injured. Despite being shot, the driver managed to drive away at high speed and went to a gas station a short distance away where the police were called. Now, let's talk a little bit about this situation because you got seven teens. They decide to come and pull a prank. Now, here's where the problem comes in. I don't know specifically from the story if it was private property or not. If it's a private property situation, you're not allowed to be on my private property.
Right.
Okay? I don't want you on my private property. And I don't know what the castle laws are for the state of Arkansas specifically.
Right.
But they might have a castle law that stipulates, you know, like kind of like we had the Merrimack River situation Correct. Earlier this year. They might have a castle law that states, you know, hey, you know, a person can defend their land with their gun however they see fit. That could be the castle law for the state of Arkansas. I don't have that information in front of me. The story kind of came across the wire at the last minute as I was pulling information for the show. So I haven't had a chance to do a lot of research on that. But with that being stated, seven teenagers do something to your car. You go out with a gun, and as they're getting into the car, you just start firing? I don't know. I mean, where do you guys stand on that one?
I think it's completely unacceptable. I don't think that if I've carried a gun, I've had a gun inside my house before. If someone is, for me to run out shooting, you had to have just like blasted a bunch of rounds into my house. Like there's no, right, that's right. Never, my first reaction would never be to go out. Your weapon is defense. The minute you use it in an offensive manner, if they're sitting there with knives and stuff on your front yard, that's one thing. But if they're
correct,
I mean, you know, when they're throwing stuff on your car, I don't see.
You gotta like wonder if they have like gang violence around their area.
And it's very
too.
That's possible, I mean, too. You know, you got seven teenagers.
Right.
You don't. But then again, it was obvious from the situation they were getting into the car to leave.
Correct.
It wasn't they were engaging the individual mm-hmm. or trying to threaten the individual.
Really quick story that I actually picked up on about guns. There's, you know, down in southern parts of the U.S., there's been a lot of snow. Well, a gentleman walked out of his house and saw a snowplow man coming down the street, you know, for the state. He wasn't moving fast enough to plow the guy's wife's car out. So he went in the house, got his gun, and fired a round into the snowplow, hitting the snowplow man in the arm.
That's just stupid and ridiculous.
That's extremely stupid.
And here's the funny thing. To Dan's defense, and a lot of these guys who do defend the right to carry arms, and I'm pro-gun myself, you
Correct.
Know, like, that's the kind of story right there that just literally changes the game and makes everything go the other direction. It,
right.
like, just gives everybody else carte blanche to, like, basically say the guns are horrible.
And honestly, like, I'm with you on that. It's, to me, I'm always saying that the people are responsible. So me, as a person who thinks that you should have guns, I know me personally, I don't pick that thing up unless I have to use it. I don't like playing with them. I don't like showing them to people. They're there for a reason. It's a weapon of destruction, and that's how it should be treated. Every time an idiot does something like this, it gets me to that degree where I'm the first one that says the bad apples are going to be the one that ruin the bunch. These people are doing stuff that is obviously making this an issue, and it's because of that, although I don't think that we should have our rights taken away, I can't really argue when you got morons doing this.
I had an individual get into an argument with me on the Facebook page of somebody's who works with the station's Facebook page in regards to a gun situation, and their argument was why they carry a gun was, the other day I was driving down the road and I got into kind of like a verbal visual altercation with a gentleman, like, you know, some road rage type thing. As I pulled up to the stoplight, he threw his car into park, pulled up next to me, got out of his car and started to come around. I literally pulled my gun out and set it right on my dashboard. And you know what that made him do? Get back in his car, cuss me a few times, and drive away. Had I not had that gun, boom. Here was my argument back to that individual, and we only got a second here. My argument was, brandishing a weapon is illegal for a concealed and carry. Like, you can't brandish a weapon. Like, so you felt vindicated because you're Here's the problem. You knew you were going to get beat up by a tougher individual.
Exactly. Like,
there was a tough guy coming to beat you up. You don't know how to defend yourself because you never were a man in the first place. So you pull your gun out to try to be a badass. That backfires because technically now you've just admitted on Facebook, a social media app, that, hey, I brandished a weapon. If anybody saw that it was a cop, they'll pull your record, man. You're going to jail, bro. Like, I'm sorry. You just can't do that stuff. And it's kind of ridiculous to me because I see these kind of things used as arguments all the time in discussions. Obviously, with the Q being political, I get into a lot of discussions about politics and about, you know, gray area discussions like we always get into. So I'm constantly running across these kind of stories where people try to use weird justifications for why they do what they do. I think it's ridiculous and it's kind of stupid. Now, here's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. It's about time for us to take a break. Bottom of the hour, CBS Fox News, as well as we're on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI, and worldwide at theqnow.com. Check out theqnow.com. Old episodes, new episodes, a little bit about Bobby, myself, as well as we got to get Dan Walsh's picture up there. He's now becoming a part of the show.
Yeah.
He almost seems like he doesn't want to be. He's got a really sexy Arnold Schwarzenegger pose
thing Walsh going on.
I think he likes Arnold Schwarzenegger. Are you a big Arnold fan?
They gave me this shirt.
All right, fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the queue.
I love Arnold.
Right after
Arnold
this.
Went from Mr. 305, Dade County, to Mr. Worldwide, all around the world. Hey. And now, international.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland.
The best part is watching Lucy as I dance to Mr. 305, baby.
Producer Bobby, joined today by Resistance Pro Ladies wrestler and independent wrestling sensation, Lucy Mendez, recently anointed the Missouri Wrestling Revival Sexiest Wrestler of the Year.
You know it.
Actually, how did that feel? How did that feel?
Feels good.
Sexiest Wrestler of the Year.
The way I was introduced to Lucy was at a recent Dynamo Pro show, and I just had my back turned, and I heard, hey, look, there's the sexiest woman in indie wrestling. And I was like, oh, Lucy's here.
Also joined today by Dan Walsh. We're getting ready to do Game On, Game Off, but before we do that, I want to rant a little bit. You know,
you like to rant.
I'm a little well known for my rants, stuff like that. Okay, I've got a problem with all of you conservatives out there, and you know, I know everybody's like, oh, you're always just railing on conservatives. Well, I'm a moderate liberal program, okay, guys. So there's going to be more conservative rambling and rattling of their cages than it is going to be anything else. So don't take it personally. But this executive order thing, you guys have got to give up on it, okay? This is ridiculous. Every time I'm getting on the internet, Breitbart.com, any of the different conservative websites, you guys are posting another blog, another social media post. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a constant rambling and rant about the fact that Barack Obama has the ability to use executive orders and he's going to take down our country with him and stuff like this. Hey, guys, idiots, morons out there who voted and lost because your vote didn't count, because you weren't a part of the majority. Guess what? All presidents, every single one of them that has ever existed, including the ones after Barack Obama, have the right to use executive orders how they see fit. It comes with the territory.
The Patriot Act started as an executive order.
Exactly. A lot of things started as executive orders, including, are you ready for this? Uh-oh. Maybe this one's going to make people happy out there. Freeing of slaves started as an executive order. It was actually two executive orders that were sent down by Abraham Lincoln at two different points in the Civil War prior to getting put onto the ballot to eventually get it voted in and ratified as an amendment to the Constitution. So, yes, good things do come out of executive orders. And he is not sitting here willy-nilly just throwing executive orders around. Your life hasn't changed. You still clock in at 7 a.m. at the Cupcake Factory, okay? Nobody's taken away anything from your life, okay? Your kids are still going to graduate high school. Your wife still doesn't have sex with you on Mondays. It's the same thing that it's always been. Stop continuously coming up with ridiculous reasons to cry about Barack Obama. How about this? Shut up. You got a vote coming up here at the end of 2014. We're going to be getting into a lot more politics as we get closer to the Senate races and the Congress races. And then you vote your heart there. Get some of the people you want in. They can make more decisions for you. And then guess what? Barack Obama steps down in January of 2017 because his 8 years are up. It's over with. And guess what? The next guy will come in. And you can rail on that person if it's a Democrat. Sure. Or you can just, like, be happy that it's not a Democrat if it happens to be a Republican who wins. Fine. Whatever it is. Just stop complaining about everything, guys. I'm really getting to the point where I think you guys are just whiny babies. Like, that's it. Like, when I hear somebody tell me, like, hey, you know, I listen to your show, but I just disagree with that. Like, the minute I hear that, I don't even, like, and I hate to do this because I don't want to be that a-hole. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I almost put you into this whiny category box immediately, and you have to work your way out of it. Like, I used to be very open-minded, but now it's like the first thing they're going to complain about. Like, Travis Cook was on here, right, Dan Walsh?
Yes, he was.
He was on here yelling about Benghazi and hanging the president from a tree.
Very animated, man.
Travis Cook. This man wants to hang the president. Bobby, are you okay?
Yeah, I got excited for a second.
All right, well, that's going to make me move into Game On, Game Off. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Game On, Game Off with Lucy Mendez here on The Q, one of our favorite sections of the show. Don't forget, we got an overtime episode coming on right after the show, only available on the download, so you got to wait for the download to come up. But once the download comes up, you can just skip. If you've already heard their live show, you can skip on to the end of it once the end credits roll, the beginning credits for the overtime start. And yes, we get into a little bit more animated, fun discussions there. So it's time for Game On, Game Off. Very simple rules to Game On, Game Off. We talk about things that you need to know about, things that you need to get hip to early so that you can be ahead of the curve. But the Game Off is basically something that's been going on for a while, like when Jordan Grace said twerking. Something's been going on for a while that people need to stop talking about or even doing or whatever it is. Stop doing those things. You guys look like morons.
Lucy's face lit up when you said twerking.
Okay.
I don't know if that was because she likes to twerk or she agrees.
Dan Walsh, you like to twerk? You're a twerker?
I have absolutely no ability to dance, twerk, or anything. So,
well, the good thing is twerking is you just move your booty a little.
I do that every morning when just I wake up and I'm like, hello there. And I do that. It's kind of like my motivation to get going.
Fair enough. Well, we're going to start this week's Game On, Game Off with Dan Walsh. It's his first time starting Game On, Game Off.
Yes.
So, Dan Walsh, you are up to bat, buddy. Game on this week.
All right. So, today, uh-huh, I'm having just an awful day, very frustrating day. Not an awful day, I hate to be that complainer, but
you
just
and me,
very, very frustrating day. And a gentleman who's at my job with me, by the way, came in on his day off to help me, and I'm really appreciative of that.
Thank you for helping, Dan.
Sees that I'm very frustrated, and he goes, "Listen, man, I think I know something that you do and make you feel better. Have you ever heard of Guy on a Buffalo?" And I'm like, "What?" And so he tells me the story about a movie that was made a long time ago, and it's about a frontier man that rides a buffalo. And the whole movie was originally done in just narration. He has no lines.
Okay.
So all these years later, somebody found this footage, and they wrote a song that goes along with these little two-minute episodes from this movie. And this song tells you exactly what the guy is doing.
So it's a literal translation.
Oh, my God. It is hysterical.
Well, we're
dude.
Going to play Guy on a Buffalo, episode one.
Episode one, Bears, Indians, and such.
All right, let's listen. And we can mention things. We can talk if we want to.
You got to listen to words.
One day the guy on the buffalo was cruising around through the plain, seeing a bear. And he thought to himself, oh, man, get away from the bear. Hope he don't chase. Oh no, he's gonna chase me. Oh no, I better just turn around and chase him back. Cause guess what? I'm on a buffalo.
All right. Well, so there it is. Guy on a Buffalo. If you want to check that out, go to YouTube.com and type in Guy on a Buffalo. You probably search it up on Google, yeah, too. Just type in Guy on a Buffalo. You probably, like, I understand you're listening in your car and you're like, you just hear a song about a guy on a buffalo.
No, but the best
but
part
you have
is
to see the video.
The video is exactly what the guy happening. Is singing. In the exact time. Like, you're seeing exact, and he just is saying it. And the best part is just the guy is right. He's just writing. There's a part, it's like the second episode, where the guy, it's the music, and like, this comes out of nowhere. The guy's like washing his hands or something, and all of a sudden he's like, the guy on the buffalo gets off his buffalo and says, buffalo, stay over there. And he's like washing his hands, and oh, here comes a mountain lion. And like this mountain lion is just on him, and he's calling for help from his buffalo, and he's like, you normally got my back, man, what do you? And all of a sudden the mountain lion attacks the buffalo.
Wow.
And he stops. He goes, okay, man, I see you got your own things to deal with. I'll deal with my mountain lion. Punch him in the face. And like he punches the face. It's so stupid, but it's so hilarious. And it like had I and the bad part is even though the video is hilarious, the song will stick in your head and you'll be in your car
got
on a buffalo. And it's 3 episodes, 2 minutes long, doesn't take you much of your time.
Awesome. All right.
You're gonna laugh.
Game on, Guy on a Buffalo. Search that up on YouTube.com. What is your game off this week?
My game off is Elitist Housewives.
Whoa, okay, all right. Ooh. Are we talking like the Housewives of Orange County?
No. I'm talking a little bit more local.
Okay,
Listen.
Dan recently works in a job outside of the radio show, and he recently moved his shop to a more specialized area that tends to have a little bit higher income value. And mm-hmm. so he seems, every week he comes in with new stories about this area.
Hey, like, okay. Hey, Dan, stop telling your son to take test boosters.
Yeah, well, all right. This is my thing. I come from my mother and my sister, just backstory me, are extremely independent women. And I mean, these girls are tough. They don't act that way. They are. And they, you know what I mean? It's not an act. And I've seen that, so I respect women a lot. I respect an independent woman.
Right.
One thing I cannot stand is somebody that is not only not taking care of themselves, that's fine if you got yourself a trophy husband and a sugar daddy. What drives me nuts is that you now feel that because you are rich because of what he did, that when you go to places, you can talk down to people that work for a living. And today I had something that was so... The person looks... I said something clear as day, and instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, like they didn't hear it, she looked at me and goes, excuse you?
Oh,
what? That was her first response. To me, here's the thing, ladies. If you don't work for a living and your job is to look pretty and drink white wine so it doesn't stain your teeth so no one knows you're a day drunk, don't come in there and act tough to me.
Holy crap.
Because you don't contribute to the earth other than making that guy happy who goes out and has a real job. And that goes on the other end of trophy husbands, guys who meet a rich chick, let's say Kevin Federline.
Me?
And you're just kind of a waste of humanity, and you think you can talk down on people. You know what? If someone else is paying your way, you need to know your role, and you need to be humble to everybody because you're not really a contributing factor to society. So
I look very good.
I am
a
trophy husband, yeah. The two married guys, we're trophy
husbands. Yeah, but you guys do stuff, all right? You
barely.
Guys
like what?
We do a radio show.
We do a radio show
that
and
isn't
go to wrestling
exist anymore.
Mark picks fights between people which he is not involved.
And I eat cheeseburgers.
And you eat, you take longer than any human being on the face of the planet to eat a foot-long sub.
Yes.
I want to enjoy
I swear
all
to
it.
God. All eight episodes. How many seasons of Lost was there?
Seven.
Okay,
seven.
Bobby had the same sandwich through all seasons.
Oh, all right.
Was
so
that
game
the same
off.
Sandwich you started eating when I got here?
Yes.
That was.
I got here at 7:15.
All right, fair enough.
Good sandwich.
All right, so here's the situation. Game off Elitist Housewives. All right, I'm going to do my game on, game off now. Game on this week is actually a documentary for me. I seem to have been doing a lot of documentaries because I use it as background noise, but I caught a special one the other day. Somebody recommended a movie to me called I Think We're Alone Now. And it is literally a documentary that's about an hour long about two of the biggest Tiffany fans still in the 2000s, okay? We are talking about huge. Now, one guy comes off as like he's got Asperger's syndrome, okay? So that's understandable. The other one is a special case. I can't remember his name specifically, but he's trying to take hormones and turn himself into a woman with a pee-pee, okay? And what do you got there, Bobby? Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Tiffany is in this movie. She doesn't want to be in this movie. Like you can tell. Tiffany is like literally every time that Tiffany's in the movie, it's literally her showing up to a signing or a concert that she's putting on. These two front and center. They go to a gay bar. They go to a gay bar for a Tiffany concert to meet each other because the movie set it up so that these two huge fans can meet each other. Oh, it's creepy, guys. I recommend everybody watch I Think We're Alone Now. Not because I think that, listen, I understand that these guys are true fans of Tiffany. And I get it. Like, I understand being a huge fan of pro wrestling myself, things like that. You have things that you love. These are two special people. And I'm not trying to knock them down because, you know, they do come off a little bit special. They do come off a little bit special. You know, you're going to look at them and be like, oh, okay, like, I'm kind of getting it. You know what I'm saying? At the same point, hilarity is abound in this movie. Hey, Mark, it is out of control.
Hey, Mark, I heard that after that documentary was filmed, Tiffany changed the lyrics to the song to I Wish I Was Alone Now.
I think so, too.
I wish I was alone now.
This is on Netflix. So if you go to Netflix, I think it might be on Amazon.com also. So Prime, if you do that. However, you probably can go to the iTunes store, download it for, you know, a couple bucks, whatever. Very worthwhile to check out this documentary, I Think We're Alone. And I'm a game off this week. Okay.
Game off.
Game off conservatives.
This is a conservative thing. This is a conservative. I got to stand up.
These are the best ones.
Stand up! Listen. Ted Nugent, 2 years ago, before Barack Obama was reelected, explained to everybody in America, verbatim, I forget the words right here. He said he will either be dead or in prison if Obama was reelected. We had the guy who is the star of 30 Rock, Alec Baldwin, who basically said if Barack Obama got elected, he would move to Canada.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh, same thing.
Yeah, I think I know where
there are so many of you conservatives that make these outlandish claims every single time. None of you do what you say. None of you.
Game off. Making promises is not...
Stop making promises. I don't like it. It's ridiculous. This makes no sense to me. Why would you do that? Well, I'm going to make love to this microphone. Why would you do that? Why would you say stupid things? Ted, I respected you. You idiots on Facebook, some of you I actually like a little bit because you make some sense every once in a while. But then you make a dumb statement and you never back it up. That's why I don't like you. You don't back up anything you say. Travis Cook, he can't back up anything he says. None of these morons who are conservative, Bobby, can back up anything they say. What? It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everybody sucks. Everybody sucks. But you
want to trust the Rush Limbaugh?
Rush Limbaugh? What? What?
Ted Nugent?
Ted Nugent?
On contract.
Get in the prizzy for shizzy.
One of those days, man. I'm sorry. Game off making up lies that you're not going to back up. Be a man for once in your life. Don't pull your gun out and put it on your dashboard. Just do what you're going to say you're going to do.
Physically and symbolically.
Now, we're going to move on to Lucy Mendez. Lucy Mendez, it is time
Lucy's
for you.
Like, how the hell do I back
I
that
know,
up?
Right?
Lucy Mendez from Resistance Pro, please, game on for me.
Game on. Well, obviously, Resistance Pro.
Okay, fair
there
enough.
We go.
Talk a little bit about it. Tell us all about it. What do you love about Resistance Pro?
You know what? Their locker room is amazing, and it's full of talented individuals, and, I mean, each show, it just gets better.
All right, fair enough.
So, check it out on YouTube. I know they have some of the episodes up there.
And ResistancePro.com.
Yeah, definitely. So game on, Resistance Pro Wrestling, based out of Chicago with Billy Corgan, the Barone brothers, and all those guys up there. And Josephus Brody. Josephus.
You really like Josephus.
And,
you
know what? And, the good-looking women's champion,
you just be quiet when I take the Brodies on tour, bro. Okay. You'll see what's going to happen.
I'm taking
the Walking Reality, the Polar Vortex, the American Embassy's King of All Media in Latvia, Azerbaijan, and Czechoslovakia.
Shut up. Stop all those
places.
That's right. By the way, did you ever do Robin? Did it happen? Robin situation? How'd that work out?
Are we asking that again?
Oh, never mind.
We just saw that episode.
We just saw the episode. It's
a
new episode.
You have not even really been watching
that.
That's
the newest episode.
They don't even have those episodes on YouTube anymore.
Latvia, they do. Shut up.
Yeah, you have to go to Latvia to go see them.
Czechoslovakia, they still got it.
The internet's an amazing thing, and I got TV stations that are streaming to me from Latvia.
If you can find me episodes of The Island, I will commentate them on the air of what everybody is really saying whenever the cameras go off.
Perfect. I'm doing it.
You know
it.
What I want? You know what I want you to do right now for overtime? You go find me some Dan Wall sound clips from the island.
No,
right,
don't, because they're unedited. Yes. You can't even play them.
On the overtime, I can do whatever I want.
Oh God.
All right, Lucy Mendez, your game off this week.
Game off. This is actually one of pet peeve of mine as a Hispanic woman.
Fair enough.
Hispanic women that dye their hair blonde.
Oh, you don't like that?
No.
Why? Now, isn't that more of a like woman's choice, though? Isn't it? It's not so much because they're Latin. Mm-hmm. It's not because they're Latin and they're just trying to like, oh, I want to be blonde. Like I thought it was more of a girl thing. Like it's like, you know, girls like to change their hair color and be different and, you know, unique different things.
You know, maybe, but I see that a lot with the Hispanic women. And if you're, you know,
is there a certain attitude associated with the blonde Latvian?
I don't know. I think it just looks cheap.
The Latvians? The Latavians?
The I don't know about the Latvians, but the Spanish women don't like it.
The Latinas. I'm sorry. The Latinas.
They don't like it. Latinas do not like it.
The Latinas do not like it.
No me gusta.
Yeah?
I just went blank on blonde. I'm so sorry.
What's the word for blonde?
Rubia.
No me gusta rubia.
All right. Fair enough. Game off.
No pera rubia.
Blonding yourself as a Latin woman. Done.
Done.
No more Spanish blondes. We're finished. Okay, fair enough. Latinas.
Well, and like, if you're white skinned and you can pull it off, go for it.
Could you do something for me real quick? Could you say in Spanish for me?
Sing.
Mark Bland is the king of all talk radio.
I don't know if I can do that. I can't lie.
Oh!
Damn!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on the Q. Lucy Mendez is a wrestler somewhere in the United States. I don't know where.
Who gives a crap where at?
It doesn't matter where she's from. Hey, thanks for coming in, Lucy, whatever your name is.
We wrestle somewhere we don't know.
We don't even know who you are. All right, fair enough.
They are all ganging up on you. I think Resistance Pro is a hate poster.
Yeah,
of you Mark Bland.
The Resistance Pro Women's Division is just not going to take kindly to them.
They all like punch a Mark Bland
poster
before
they go
and
wrestle. I think it's time for Mark Bland to become the executive director of Resistance Pro, is what I think.
We will have a poster of yours in our locker room from now on.
All right, fair enough.
How about that?
With darts?
A dart. That was all right,
fair
that.
Enough. Bobby, you only got a couple minutes here, so knock it out fast. What's your game on, sir?
All right, real quick, game on Vine videos. Vine videos are funny as hell. Game off, the country of Belgium.
Why? What?
Okay,
why
the country of Belgium?
Is this an Olympic thing?
No, because the country of Belgium just passed a law where it is okay to euthanize terminally ill children.
Ooh. Now wait a second. To euthanize?
Yes. Yeah.
Like with
like Dr. Kevorkian.
But they have the right to choose the
Correct.
Euthanization.
Correct.
Okay, now see, I don't have as much a problem with that, okay? I'm not sitting there sitting condoning all this, but what I'm saying is if they allow a person who is terminally ill to make that decision as opposed to going through a very painful part of their life mm-hmm. to die, and they allow them, hey, we're not going to stop you if you want to choose to like put yourself down to an extent in euthanization. Yes, sir, Dan Walsh.
Okay, first off, you're dealing with children, okay? So you got to see it from their perspective. They are not mentally developed yet to make the decision.
It's their parents and them, too.
Yeah, but then the parents. Now, what selfish reasons? There's parents out there who do sick things. Maybe they want the insurance money. Maybe they want... So this poor kid who maybe doesn't want to die is going to get euthanized because some scamming parent.
Okay, fair enough. It's very possible that that could happen. And I understand that there's going to be people that use these things to their advantage, to be D-bags. I get it. Like, I understand. And that's a horrible thing. But at the same point, this is probably a rule that applies across the board to everyone. Children are involved also. I'm sure that there's maybe a 7-year-old girl, and I hate to hear this or you know think about this because I have a daughter myself and a son, you know what I'm saying, that's very young. I actually had a friend of mine who had a 4-year-old daughter pass away from an undeveloped situation, or not undeveloped, but like an, terminal situation with a tumor in the brain, you know, and it was a horrible situation. It was a very sad period in his time. I felt horrible for him. Like, there was nothing he could do. He knew that he was up against the bricks, the poor little girl, you know, I get it. And it breaks my heart to no end. And that was a really tough month and a half of my life that I had to deal with knowing what he was going through. And I really couldn't, you try to reach out to these people, you know, you want to be friendly and you want to try to find ways to make it easier for them to deal with. But they know it's coming. It doesn't make it any easier. It happens. That's really tough at such a young age. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, game off Belgium, game on Vine Videos. It's time for us to get out of here on the queue. We are going to be doing an overtime episode, but first off, I want to thank Darcy Dixon, Mickey Knuckles, as well as Lucy Mendez from Resistance Pro. ResistancePro.com is the website where you can find out information about professional wrestling with Resistance Pro and all that good stuff. They got schedules and all that up there. I want to thank Dan Walsh. Thank you so much, sir.
No, my pleasure.
As well as producer Bobby, 1280 MKYRO, 1420 WINI, as well as check out RadioFoodBar.com and Tap Detroit. They replay our shows every single week. Go to their schedule sections, respectively, to find out when the queue is replaying on those stations on the internet. And I also want to thank all the fans out there that check us out every single week. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to the show. Like us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Do whatever you can. Talk about us on iTunes. Whatever you got to do, just keep telling people about the queue. Friends, family, significant others, all that. Thank you so much. We will see you guys next time on the episode. It's time for overtime. You got to download it if you want it. We'll be back on the queue next time. Kelly, I record. Okay. Now step to the right. Now step to the left. Now hold on 1 second, baby. Let me catch my breath. Baby, no, yeah, you baby, back, ooh, you groovy baby, in, let's make a movie baby, time, excuse me baby, let's, yeah, you baby, go, ooh, you groovy baby, yes, yes, baby, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime. It's been a day of, Pitbull songs.
That's Dan Walsh's new name.
Pitbull?
Mr. Worldwide.
No. Dan Walsh is now the heavyweight champ of the Q. Dan, the animal, flying reality, polar vortex.
American Embassy King of all media for Latvia, Azerbaijan, and the Czechoslovakia.
Walsh. Boy.
I still love that we combined Czechoslovakia. They're two countries. Like, this has not been the truth since, like, the 90s.
Well, welcome to Overtime. We get a little loose here on the show. And Bobby and me were arguing with Dan off the air because, you know, as we've talked about on the show, Dan, you know, he was on MTV as a, you know, reality star at a certain point in his life. And he says that there's no videos. Bobby, on the other hand,
Dan,
he has found a way.
No. Dan just didn't say there was no videos. Dan's like, I swear to you, they took them all down. They want me to be the president of the world, and they took all the videos down. Bobby, you're not going to be able to find a video. So I looked at Dan and said, don't fucking tell me what I won't do.
I'm still, he sees pictures, but it's probably not going to be
all right.
A good
vibe. Okay.
So here we go.
Lucy,
are you ready?
As my witness. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2.
The best of the best of the island.
Here on the island, there's the conditions are starting to wear on bananas. Everyone. Like the food portions, the lack of sleep, you know, living conditions.
No, sit down, Dan Walsh.
Slowly, one by one, everyone's starting to crack.
This right here is not going to feed 16 people.
Wow.
There's Dan Walsh right there.
Whoever has eggs should eat eggs, and then the rest of us should eat fish.
Johnny, the thing is, all of us started out with 2 eggs. We shouldn't be penalized for saving.
You've been saving food, then for the better of everyone here, why not at least sacrifice a little bit?
Did everyone get fish?
Did everybody get it? Because I want a piece too.
I took half.
One of the pieces.
Yeah, well, sir. You shouldn't take any.
No, Johnny, I was entitled.
Okay, you're entitled. Okay, well then.
I am.
No one wants to listen to you, dumb bitch.
Whoa.
Kind of.
Who said that? Jody
Bajan. No, Johnny Bananas.
Johnny's a complete piece of dirt. He's chauvinistic, sexist, and I just want Johnny off this island.
Yep. We don't like Johnny. He's a chauvinistic piece of jerk.
He's actually a friend of mine. Good guy.
Well, I'm sure he is.
Oh, I love Johnny.
Oh, my God. I'm freaking out.
There's no Dan.
Oh, my God.
I'm not hearing any Dan.
Right now? Really?
This is really happening.
Really right now?
As if this island couldn't get any
worse.
There's
Dan Walsh again.
God decides to...
Just because he's in the video, though, we're not getting any audio,
man. This is my thing. They don't hear anything.
We're not getting any audio.
Okay. We're going to post the link to this because here's the fucking episode.
We're going to do better.
I think I just won the argument.
Dan is the heavyweight champ of the Q. He has put the challenge out to you and said, you will not find any video of me. Now,
okay, I got to go for
Bobby.
But it has to have audio, Bobby. It can't just be me standing. I was on a fucking island with people. You're going to see me every once in a while.
Bobby. The game is this. You have a week until the next episode of the Q.
Okay.
In that week, you have to find sound clips, legit sound clips of Dan Walsh on MTV's reality shows.
Okay.
Okay.
Do they have to be, like, does he have to find them? Because I have a friend that has all his...
No, because it has to be on the internet. That's the argument.
You know, do you have a, are you on the internet by any chance? Are you on the internet? Could someone on the internet contact you via the internet?
Yeah, I'm sure she
and then
could.
That person could contact the that, Q, via the Q, internet.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's all on the internet. That's
the
all
Q,
on the internet.
The Q producer Bobby at gmail.com.
Listen, okay. I think I will say that I'm the victor because you have to actually go get someone who recorded them to do this years ago. They're
no,
not
I'll take care
on,
of it.
And, on
I'll
the
take
base of the World Wide Web.
I almost feel like Dan doesn't want anyone to hear these.
I'll be back in a second.
Because they're not there.
What do you mean you'll be back? No, no, no. Get back on here. It's overtime. You're part of the show. Stay here. Stay here. You have a week to do what you need to do. And then Dan Walsh, you have a week to come up with funny Bobby things. Like you have, I will give you an equal 5 minutes to just verbally, comedically work him like it's crowd work. Like, I mean, just eat him alive.
You want me to roast Bobby?
I want you to roast Bobby. If he doesn't come up with anything, well, even if he does come up with something decent, I want you to roast Bobby.
No, because here's the thing. Either way, I look like an asshole because if he comes up with it, then it's just me like being bitter because he found something, which he won't. And then if I do,
okay.
So when he doesn't find it, then it's like Dan's just an asshole who's making fun of Bobby. Like,
I don't think you're an asshole. I don't think
you won't think you're an asshole.
I am the angel of MTV. That's why you cannot find clips.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, let's move on. It's time for Dr. Dan to get his cap on.
Yeah.
Because we've got some little letters from the listeners. It started a few years ago when I started reading like advice columns and giving my own opinion. Eventually, people liked it so much they wanted to hear my actual opinion of their real life problems. And I still to this day get questions as well as emails sent to me weekly. And you can go to theqnow.com, click on the contact page. It will hit us up directly or mark at theqnow.com. Either way, you can contact the show and email me these questions, and we will talk about them on the overtime. Dr. Dan, are you ready?
I'm ready. I got my doctor hat on.
Producer Bobby, are you good to go?
I'm gravy, bro.
All right, let's do this. Lucy, are you good?
I'm good.
All right, you're good. All right, here we go. First one. So, Mark, the other day, me and my dad had a heart-to-heart conversation. We had the big talk. About halfway through the talk, he explained to me to not use Durex condoms because they break a lot. Then under his breath said that that was the reason I was there and kind of laughed a bit. I am unsure how to take this. I feel like I'm a mistake now. What do you think? Dan Walsh, I want you to be the son, okay? Mm-hmm. I want you to be the son. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Hey, son.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dad.
It's big 16. 16 years old today, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, you go to school every day, and I'm sure, you know, that little girl, Rebecca, remember mm-hmm. Rebecca, you know, she's cute.
Who could forget Rebecca?
You love Rebecca. And
such an angel, Rebecca.
She's a cute girl, but you got to be careful out there. I know you're a good-looking guy. You know, you work out a lot, got a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger T-shirts.
Thanks a lot, Dad.
And
it's fucking creepy, but okay, let's go.
So, with that being stated, you know, guys start to feel themselves, you know, in their nether regions, you know, like your Uncle Bobby. Uncle Bobby, you know, he feels himself in his other nether regions.
Is that what he does in the other room at family functions for 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's...
when he says he has to go get a hymn break?
Yeah, leave Uncle Bobby. Wondering. Please leave Uncle Bobby alone. You know, so you start to feel a little frisky down there, you know what I'm saying? The girls, they're starting to feel a little frisky too, you know? They want to find themselves a nice, virile young man and... do things, you know, and you've heard of sex, have you not? Have you heard of sex?
Yeah, yes, Dad.
Well, listen, I want you to protect yourself really well when you have sex. I want you to use some condoms. You know, you got to use condoms because they work really well. Like, but don't use Durex condoms. Don't use Durex ones because they break a lot. They don't really work. That's kind of why you're here. That's what happened. Anyway, you don't want to use Durex condoms. You know what I'm saying?
I kind of wanted to tell you that it's 2014, so I got laid when I was 11 years old. Number two, I totally feel you on the Durex condoms.
Okay.
Now's a good time to introduce you to your grandson.
Oh, well, shit. What's his name? What's his name?
This
is little Travy?
This is little Travy. little Travco? That's what I call him.
Little Travco?
We call him TCO. Travco.
Yeah, we call him TCO.
What's he got there? He's got on some purple Nikes. He's got a cult.
Yeah,
he's got a cult.
He's got some purple Nikes. He keeps rambling on about moving to Canada because Something about Obama.
Hashtag Travy cult.
They're getting quicker and quicker into this politics game every day. Just over my head.
So that's,
I'm 16. I only do social studies. Exactly. I don't even know what the fuck he's talking about.
That's probably what happened to this conversation. Dr. Dan, what do you say to this guy? Should he feel like he's a mistake? Danny laughed at him.
My dad. We brought up the MTV thing earlier, and the reason why is, all right, I want to bring this back up. We were doing a video where MTV asked for an audition part.
Is it a video that's on the internet?
No, it isn't.
Do we have access to any videos on the internet?
We had to send it to them. So they said, we want to film you with your family and kind of get your family's perspective on you, like what they would say. So it goes around the table, and my sister's like, you know, I love my brother, blah, blah, blah. My brother's like, yeah, he's all right. And then my mom's like, oh, he's great. He can walk on water. He's amazing. That's like any mother would. They go to my dad. I kid you not, this is not a joke. He looks at the camera, and he goes, I still think the best part of him slid down the crack of his mother's ass and ended up as a brown stain on the mattress.
Wow. Dude, you know what? At this point, I've heard enough Dan's dad stories.
Oh my God.
I want Dan's dad on the show.
Dude, no, this is the best part.
No, Dan, we need your dad
now,
on the show.
Now,
dude.
Here is where my dad is why I love him to death. So he says this, dude, pulls it off without a hitch, doesn't need, no sells it, just does it. Later on that night, he gives me a call, and he goes, listen, I just want you to know you're the best thing that ever happened to me, and I'm sorry about that comment earlier.
What a nice guy.
He felt bad about it.
Yeah.
And, like, for this guy to
come
out...
Can we get your dad on the show? Seriously,
dude,
I really want him on the show.
I'll ask him, man. But you don't have smoking in the studio.
That's okay.
And
we'll take it up.
Cool. We'll be taking more smoking breaks than ever because he's a big fan of the Cool Filter Games.
I'm sure your dad can handle a little bit here and there.
He's one of those guys where, like, you can talk to him about
certain
issues.
Sounds like a man's man.
He just kind of... Okay, I told you about... All right, I'm a comedian, so I'm writing, you know, certain jokes. And so there's a joke that I'm kind of writing that's a little risque, and it has to deal with racial stereotypes, right? So on one of them, I'm kind of bringing up, and the part of it is to be a little joke. It was like, oh, yeah, and, you know, you would never, you know, blah, 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 this is bad because you would never find Mexicans and African-Americans in an Arctic climate. So that's the funny part, and I look at him, and he's, like, looking forward, not even looking at me, just kind of doing that, like, dog's eye view where he's, like, kind of getting out of the corner of the eye, and I'm like, so not funny, huh? And he goes... No, I mean, that's absolutely true. Those groups of people really don't like cold weather. I mean, I can't really blame them. That was a joke? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were just telling me something that was factual.
Look, like, here's the funny thing. You and me have talked offline about this. This is really unique because with Lucy here and having the background of being a Latina, you know, a lot of people might not know this, and obviously we talk about some risque subjects here on the show. Black people and Mexicans do not get along, and actually, Mexicans do not. Like, there are family crests. Heavy family crest within the Mexican community for years and years that depict black people being held in slavery by them or getting beat by them. In fact, one of my good friends, he's been on the show before, his wife, he's actually, I think Jeremy's talked about this on the show, his wife's family crest, because her family's from Guadalajara, you know what I'm saying? Like, hardcore. Mm-hmm. And I could be wrong on that. I got to double check that, but I think it's Guadalajara. Like, their family crest actually depicts, like, a black person getting hung. You know, like, but it's, I mean, this is an ancient crest that's been around the Mexican family for like 300 years, like long period of time. But it's like, that's serious down there, man.
You know what, though? If you ever want to kill that stereotype, like just that they don't like black people, you've got to meet Lucy's mother.
Okay.
She is hysterical, dude. She's like so funny and has so much personality. And I don't like to like tie it into like a George Lopez skit or whatever, but like, how he depicts, like, just how, not to the point of, like, oh, yeah, keep doing the NyQuil until you pass out, but, like, her mom, I met her mom, and, like, anything I had to say, her mom just had these, like, snap comebacks that were hilarious. And, like, you look at her, and she's, you know, she's, like, this older Mexican woman.
She's a fiery Latina.
And you're thinking, like, she's going to have that, like, what's depicted in movies, like, this like, older, like, Mexican woman who goes to the well and gets it. But her mom starts firing stuff back off at you, and it's like she's one of the teenagers.
Bobby is over here rocking around in his chair, and he's, like, making, like, yes, yes.
Because I found a fucking video.
What?
But it won't. Play all the way.
Oh, I'm sure it won't.
You're still the heavyweight champ.
No.
Oh,
fuck that.
Yes.
Turn this up.
Yes.
This video starts. It's called The Island, Episode 6 Sneak Peek. What's at the beginning of it? Dan laying in bed with Robin. Oh, yeah.
But once again.
Hold on. If it were to play all the way, this is the clip I've seen. Dan and Robin start fighting.
Dan had a lot to drink, and you know what? We did fool around, but, like, nothing happened.
Shh.
It was like he passed out, and nothing went further than that.
Is Dan your boyfriend? The island? Yes.
Everything.
No! There it is. Nope, you're done. You're done,
dude.
You're done. Nope, you're done. I'm sorry. I love you. It might be internet connection issues, but still, you're done. You got it. You're done. You're
32
out.
Seconds in.
Seriously,
it's
dude.
Because it's... the higher powers of MTV are not allowing this to happen.
Hold on.
No.
Here it is.
No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm sorry.
We've lost, brother.
I'm sorry, bro. I can't. Listen. You've been thrown over the top rope, and you're out of the Royal Rumble. Like, you're not coming back in through the middle of the ropes. You're not SWAT team. It ain't happening.
What if
we switch places?
What? No, doesn't work. No, I can't do it. I've given him all the opportunities
in
the world.
So many.
It's okay. Technically, I still only have a week, so I just got to get this video to load for next week.
You know what, though? We've got to cut. He's made so many attempts for tonight that it's almost got to disqualify him.
No, I can't do that. I did give him a week. Now, here's the funny thing. You seem like you just don't want these played. That's fine. If you don't want them played.
Oh, I don't care, man.
Okay, all right.
The thing is that it's. I'll sum it up for you. I was a drunk, right. But you know what? Robin was the exact same way.
Right.
And so us two together were idiots, and you're just going to watch rambling idiots that you could go watch at any corner bar,
okay.
Especially in St. Charles County.
All right, fair enough. Get that shit for next week, okay?
Also, on that one, if you get that episode, watch how many times she changes her story.
Dr. Dan.
If you are like an FBI person, Dr. you can totally
Dan,
tell.
I love you, but I need Dr. Dan back.
Okay.
All right, you ready, Dr. Dan?
I'm here.
All right. Dr. Luce?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. So, Mark, I think I have an issue. I really like this guy at work. I am an attractive girl, and he is a semi-hot guy, but I am shy. So during a lunch a few days before Valentine's Day, I was talking with coworkers, and I kind of let it slip that I liked the guy. Well, it turned into a I will make him mine talk. And it will be done by Valentine's Day kind of thing. Well, that didn't happen. And I felt up against the promise I had made. So, the morning of work, I turned on the vacuum cleaner and gave myself some light hickeys to make it look like it happened. Got to work, and the first person to ask me what happened to my neck was the guy in question. Of course, he asked it in front of all the coworkers, so there was a ton of laughter and behind-the-scenes chuckling, knowing that I had faked the hickeys from the guy who asked the question. I feel like crap, and I think I might need some help deciding whether to keep this job or move on. What do you think?
Move on.
Out of there?
Yeah.
Out of there.
Like she
first off,
she makes the move, right? You know, she's like, hey, I like this guy. I really like this guy. Oh, I'm gonna make him mine by Valentine's Day, you know? Doesn't work out.
Yeah,
doesn't.
Did she really try though?
I don't know if she really. I would assume that she would have to have tried.
But the biggest thing is you're an embarrassment for the fact that you put fake fucking hickeys on your neck.
First off, you started off your letter with, I'm an attractive girl. Get the fuck over yourself, okay? Number two.
You elitist housewife.
I know, dude. No, number two, you can't be that hot. Every fucking crazy girl I've worked with in the restaurant industry, which is what it sounds like you work in, has said the same thing. You're probably not even as good looking as you think you are. And number two, you did something really stupid and you got caught and you deserve to get caught. And you know what? Instead of running away, because here's what's going to happen. You run away, they're going to think of you as that fucking nut job that put hickeys on herself or a slut that just ran out. Because you turned to I kind of liked him, but I will make him mine by Valentine's Day. That's kind of a drastic jump. And I don't think that they put that shit in your mouth. So, I mean, one or two things. I think you may need to up your meds a little bit. Number two.
Holy shit. Dan is getting in on this, dude.
No, because I've just worked with so many crazy fucks, man.
I just wanted to find
your
fucking video.
You have made a Dr. Dan a very angry man. Listen to this guy. He's like, fuck that bitch. She's got problems, and I don't like her.
As a person who has had a large history of problems myself,
okay,
I will tell you that the road to redemption is to stay there. Because people always remember what you did last. If you can come back, knock that shit off, get over yourself a little bit, play it like a normal person, then down the road when you quit, people will remember stories that happened last because we're in an ADD society that doesn't really bother to fucking remember anything.
Fair enough.
So you leave now, not only will you be that person, but someone will work with someone you used to and that shit will follow you. It does. If you're in the service industry, I can almost guarantee it will happen.
Yeah.
You need to stay there, own up to what you did. You know what? Running away solves nothing, and you always have it in the back of your head. You'll have social anxiety because you think you're going to run into somebody. Just deal with it. Just fucking deal with it. We've all done.
Yeah, like having limp dicks.
You know? Whoa. I didn't have a limp dick, first off, asshole. Get your fucking clips together.
Jesus, man. This guy is... I feel bad. Like, you've taken Flying Reality, happy-go-lucky Dan Walsh, and you have pissed him off, man.
Nah, man. No, first off, I'm going to touch base on that. If you watch these clips, if she does it, she changes the story three times. First time was, I'm sure everybody heard in that clip, that I passed out. correct?
Yes.
If I passed out, then there was no action, so how could I go limp? We passed out.
Number two,
she'll try to say that, oh my God, Dan went limp because he drank too much. That's going to be number two. Number three, she'll actually go, I don't know, I don't remember. And in that episode, I will look at her and go, if you didn't know and you didn't remember, then how do you know I was limp? And she'll sit there like a dumbass, and that's when I told her she's fucking dead to me. So yeah. I not only hammered am I a nut job, apparently I'm a damn good lawyer. So if anyone needs fair to enough. Be defended, get me shit-faced again, and I will fucking get you out of any ticket.
All right, fair enough. All right, we're going to move on to questions
and
now.
I don't even care. That was in 2008. Fuck you, Bobby, for even making me care about
wow.
that again.
Wow. My goodness.
Damn.
Yes.
So, put on Guy in a Buffalo. You pissed me off now.
Lucy, could you possibly talk to Billy Corgan and see if we can make Dan Walsh versus Bobby in a cage and then Mark versus Darcy Dixon in a cage? All right.
Dan, you are so red.
It's okay. It's
it
okay.
Makes no, because I touch me. All right, women don't notice it. But
stop,
like,
stop. Don't bury yourself.
No, when you say that, it's like yelling fire in an airport. Like, yes, no matter what, yes. It's true. But, like, she's so blatantly lying. And, like, I'm the hammered one who's picking all of this up. And, like, no, I mean, I know they're giving me shit. And it's whatever, but like the fact that someone would go on and say that, not like it's a big deal, but like people bring that up and then they're like, oh, blah, and they don't remember, like have some kind of like that you pay attention because she changed her story three times within fucking 20 minutes.
Yeah, she does.
Not that I don't even care. Robin's a great girl and I'm glad
okay,
she's
cool,
married and
cool,
happy.
Cool. No,
but
no,
you pull that shit on me. I'm going to defend myself, Bobby.
No, fair
right?
enough. No, that's fair enough.
All right, bro.
I don't think you need to like beat it into listen.
I'll tear my
Dan
Arnold Schwarzenegger shirt
was
off.
Was on a buffalo and he saw a mountain lion.
And Bobby put on the internet video that pissed him off and he yelled a little bit and turned red.
All right, okay, all right. Let's move on to questions here. A little quick roundabout where
that
we
was entertaining. Thank you.
Where we jeez, I don't even know if I want to continue overtime at this point. I feel
I'm in a good mood
I
now.
I think that he's going to kill us. I did, but no, I do. Might hurt us,
it
dude.
Did finally load, and I have the point where it's where they're asking him. That's the only reason why I brought it up.
Bring it up. I want to hear the whole argument now.
I've got it.
Are you sure?
If yeah. they show it right, no, I'll prove her. I'll prove her wrong.
What are we doing here at night? We're drinking.
Ryan, I never had one. I'm trying to be nice and not tell everybody that I have.
Then I'm a kid.
Done the business with Robin.
I'm a little kid.
But she has gone the extra step and told everybody that I tried. And
do
I
you hear
limp.
The lisp?
Oh,
you
I
like
love
the drunken slur.
Whoa, I love
I
it.
Was being nice. I didn't say Robin. And you told people that I was limp.
Before we start this conversation, I'm going to tell
shit,
you, Dan.
Bobby.
Please do not talk to her in a derogatory manner. Do
ever.
Not.
No,
okay.
I won't.
Don't
Robin,
ever.
Did
no,
you
I've
ever say those things about Dan?
Dan, yes, I did. I do not remember if we ever had sex. Do not remember it. Sorry.
Being honest.
I'm honest.
Wait.
If we didn't have sex, how did you know I'm a limp? If we never had sex. We were never in that
valid
scenario.
Point.
How did you
know
I'm a limp?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Come on. Caught in your lie.
I don't know.
My buddy, how could you
why
sit there
come out?
And talk trash to everybody when you're my friend?
Dan.
So be a person and take your own lies and own what you did.
Robin and Dan's relationship is based on the fact that they're both two crazy alcoholics who
yeah.
drink themselves into oblivion.
You were my friend.
Bobby, you were my friend.
You
were
getting and you right. found the video.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh, Dan.
Stop. Take it back. Nobody.
Take it back.
Take it back, Dan. Take it back. Dan, take it back. Dan, do you
that's
take it back?
You happy now?
Do you take it back, Dan?
By that?
Take
no,
it back, Dan.
Right.
Take it back. Take it back. Take it back.
You can do it all day. I was right, and I just proved it right there in a court of three people that are sitting in a studio.
All right, fair enough.
Everyone heard it. Am I crazy?
You
did.
Did.
I not, am I not like
and
the
you proved it.
Ben Matlock of
well, you
accusing
ain't gotta,
me of a
you ain't got to come in with nothing next week. That's you're good.
Very good, all Bobby. Right. You proved me wrong.
Good job, Bobby.
I just wanted to change everything that said Robin to Bobby in that conversation. Be like, you're dead to me, Bobby.
Dead to me, Bobby.
You're dead to me. I love how he sounds like a little kid. Like, he literally he's like,
he
just, Robin, you're just a bad me.
That's what happens when you're about two-fifths of Jack Daniels deep, dude.
Right.
That's how you talk.
It's time for questions. We're going to do a quick round of Robin here. And, okay. Lucy Mendez, what is the most admirable quality of a person you dislike the most? So think of somebody.
Holy shit. What kind of question is that?
I didn't say name names. No. I didn't say name names. I said, think of the person that is your biggest enemy, the person you hate the most. Mm-hmm. But what is an admirable quality about that person?
Oh,
like something
okay.
that when
okay.
you think of that person, you go, I knock this person. I hate this person. They are horrible. But this, I see this, they stand out here.
How about they have talent in what they do?
Okay, fair enough. Very talented at what they do. So yes. you respect them, you just don't like them.
Correct.
Fair enough. What about you, Bobby?
Persistence.
God, man, I know I'm a persistent dude, but...
No. This ex-girlfriend of mine won't leave my wife and I alone, but she's pretty fucking persistent about it. Like, she stalks our page, we post stuff about our new...
So she's a very persistent person, so you respect the hell out of her persistence.
Yeah.
Like, if it came down to, we have to run for 365 days in a row, you'd be like, call so-and-so.
Yep.
She will just keep going.
Yep.
Okay, what about you, Dan Walsh?
Somebody
who's dead to you. You know what I'm saying? Someone who is dead to you as a person. What is some of the admirable qualities about that person?
They didn't abort their child.
Okay, all right,
that's
fair
about
enough.
It. That's for a couple. If I dislike you, anyone who knows me knows that it takes a lot for me to dislike you.
Right.
So you had to do numerous shit to make me really angry.
No,
so,
fair enough.
Yeah.
If you know what, you didn't, you saw through having a child. Pretty much the one person I'm thinking of, they had a child. Now, that kid's going to grow up fucking nuts. And I'm not saying Robin, by the way.
Okay? No, that's fine. He never said that. I know that everyone,
but that's not it. Believe it or not, me and her were friends after
believe
the show.
Believe it or not, Dan
fine.
Has been drunk a lot, and he's got a lot of enemies.
There's
okay?
a lot of enemies with me. No, I will say that, out of people that I dislike, persistence is always the one that they always say. Because it's usually that persistency that made them backstabbers, the reason you don't like them, or that persistency led to them in a negative way. But the one person I'm thinking of that, like, honestly, when I just think about them, I'm like, you're so fucked in the head, is that they had a child. And
all right, fair enough.
They didn't do anything. I mean, the kid's not in a home yet, so.
That's good. That's good. All right. I am going to say a person I don't like a lot. I admire the fact that this individual is quite informed. They're an informed individual. They're not just this loose-lipped idiot who just fucking rambles and says stupid shit that doesn't make any sense, you know, like just to poke the bear or whatever.
Right.
They're an informed individual who actually has a lot of understanding and does a lot of research to know what they're talking about, at least.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, what is the most pain you have ever felt? This is going to get serious for me, but go ahead. Go ahead, Lucy.
I had my legs broken one time.
Oh,
legs.
Leg broken. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, sure.
I was...
Can I please?
Yeah, sure.
Please.
Can I please tell
a
story?
I was laying next to Dan Walsh and he punched me.
Dan got to tell a story, so I want to tell a story.
Arriba!
No, I actually have... I hope she doesn't listen to this, but my cousin fell on me when I was a little girl.
Okay.
And she broke my leg in 3 places.
Right, probably a nasty situation, Gorda? Spill or whatever.
That's a huge bitch.
don't name no names. That's not fair. That's not nice. That's not very nice. What's up?
Gorda.
Okay.
El Gordo.
Dan.
What about you, Bobby?
Gorda Primo.
I actually had my nose fractured when I was a kid by my mom hitting me in the face with a bowling ball.
Probably deserved it.
You fucking deserved it. You probably pulled up internet videos she didn't want you to.
No, we were joking around and we were at the bowling alley. She went to go back to throw the ball and I was right there and she right in the face.
Wow. What about you, Dan Walsh?
There's a tie, and this is physical pain, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's a tie. One time my...
I guess it could be emotional pain, but probably physical
pain.
No,
there's two.
I'm sorry.
There's two that stick out and they're going to be really like kind of graphic, so I'm sorry.
Make them short.
First one, I crawled underneath my dad's van whenever he told me not to after he got home, and my leg went up and it burnt the shit out of my leg when I was a kid. And
on the exhaust manifold.
Yeah, and it didn't stop. It kept going on. It was really bad. Number two, I got a tick attached to me right underneath my scrotum. And so whenever it took out, the sore was still there. So I went to the doctor, and he had to take tweezers, and he had to squeeze to make sure the head's out. So he had to squeeze right in between, right there in my chest.
The taint.
And he was like squeezing it to get it out. And it was so painful. And I was like in tears. And I was like 15 at this time.
Wow.
So those are probably the two right
Sir,
there.
Sir, you don't understand. You're hurting my ballsack.
Dude, he was squeezing my balls with tweezers.
Mine is in a similar situation. Sort of a few years ago, I ran into my first. I hate to say this. This is a little graphic and it's a little personal too. But, you know, it's not like I don't tell these people. There's people who know this story who are friends of mine and just general people too. I had hemorrhoid surgery.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you something. They don't knock you out.
What?
No. See, a lot of people think that you get knocked out for something like that. No. Hemorrhoid surgery, they keep you awake, because they need to make sure that the muscles down in that area will, they're going to contract and relax and do different things. They got to keep you awake. They just numb it up so that they open you up, they go in there, and then they just take scissors, regular old scissors, and just go and just start snipping. And when they feel, you feel the cutting. You feel the cutting. You like, you don't feel the pain of the cutting because you are like numbed up so much, but you literally hear the rip and the tear and you feel the cutting. Oh, and then literally, dude, it's a
Dan, can I get some fiber?
Bro, it's
like, can I get some fucking fiber?
I'm bro, gonna fucking throw up.
I got a shit ride.
Bro, too much bro, I'm sorry, guys. Holy, I told you. Let me tell you, it was two, like the first 2 months is the most painful crap I've ever had to deal with. And I'm not trying to be, that wasn't a pun on it. Like, it is so painful. Like, you literally can't sleep at night. It is intense pain. It, like, all the Oxycontin in the world is not fixing your problem.
Well,
like,
a lot of the nerves,
super
your,
pain.
A lot of the nerves in your, in a male's body ends in your scrotum, that's and your
right,
anus.
That's right. It was so painful. And I've had this happen twice.
That's because you guys are all asses.
I've had this happen twice, mm-hmm, with mm-hmm, 3 years mm-hmm, separating those surgeries. So I actually got to feel better before they went in and had to do it again. Like, it was bad. So, not that I like putting that kind of information out there like that, ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa.
And I know it was a little graphic. I get it. But at the same point, I just want you to all to know out there, if you have some hemorrhoids and problems like that, and the doctor is like, yo, I need you to do this, 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 and this, do it. Do it, do it, do it. Do whatever you can. Do not get the surgery until it is an absolute...
That's, get that shit fixed.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. The first surgery... hold on. The second one was actually... hold on. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. This really was painful. The first surgery was in an emergency room on a random table. Just not in, like, the emergency room, like, in an office off to the side on a general table, because they didn't have a place to put me.
They didn't have an OR room
to
for you?
To do what I... No, no, they were all full, and they were handling other things. And I was in so much pain, they had to do what they had to do. Like, basically, imagine, here's a bookshelf with all the medical journals, here's a desk, here's a computer, here's a table Mark's laying on it, we're going to do this thing right here. Like, it wasn't even, like, sterile or anything like that. Second time was at an actual, like, hemorrhoid doctor type, like, real office for that kind of thing and stuff like that, because I smartened up after the first one. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. Yeah, it was bad. So, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's going to do it for us here on the Q
today. Wait a minute.
Today.
Did they give you ice cream both times?
In your anus?
Popsicle.
Did they... a popsicle?
Blueberry
what
popsicle.
What a dick move, because you know what they're gesturing with that. Like, you you know where you need to put this, Mark.
Okay. Put this in your rectum. Put this in your rectum and call us in the morning.
I used to do that, actually.
He put dreamsicles in his butt?
Yeah.
All right. We got to talk about that next time. That's a story.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the Q. I want to thank Lucy Mendez.
Yes!
Follow Lucy Mendez on Twitter and on the internets and everything else. ResistancePro.com is the website for all the wrestlers, stuff like that. And of course, we got my main man, Producer Bobby.
Follow me on Twitter at CC Papa. And you can get in touch with me at theqproducerbobby@gmail.com.
And Dan Walsh at DanWalsh83 on Twitter.
And I've actually been tweeting 5 out of 7. I didn't do 7 out of 7.
It's okay, but you got 5.
More.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Q. My name's Mark Bland. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Bland. And check out theq.com. We will see you guys next time on the show. Grab somebody sexy, tell them, hey.